Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here a lot tonight. Good to be with you. It's Wednesday night, where we pray over every person and speak over every person. So if that's you, you're every person. You're in there. We got you. All right, thanks for being with us tonight. Hang on just a moment. I'll be right there. All right, glad you're here tonight, and we're here to pray for you and minister to you and speak over you personally, pray over you personally. It's our prayer night, what we call prayer night, actually prophetic night, but it's really prayer night. So we pray over everybody and over every person who calls in, whether we know you, don't know you, doesn't make any difference. If you're in the line, you're in line, so that's all that matters. All right, so let's get ready to get down with some stuff and see what's happening. All right. Got some really cool things to share tonight with you. I want to let you know right off the bat. That we love you and appreciate you, PGN, for what they do. And all of you have been with us for years. You know that a couple years ago, whenever it was, we gave information about the wealth transfer that we're believing God for, and has only one thing to do with PGN, and that is all those who have been helping PGN for years and have continued to help PGN are part of that. And when we announced that, we told people very specifically that, you know, if you've been given to PGN and you didn't know it, but now you are now set up to be a part of that. And there's no extra giving. There's no added giving. If you stay faithful, you remain faithful to what you're doing with what you've already been doing, no more, no less. Whatever you've been doing already. Of course, we've got speech to do stuff. That's up to you. But we spoke very plainly, documented the whole thing, and made very carefully to do it that That's it. So whether we had the wealth transfer or not, people will be given probably most of them what they've always been giving and doing. And that's why we did that, to keep it clean and pure and honest. So there's no enticements. And we said that no new people that were part of it at that time. I don't remember the exact date and time of that, but we're not looking for new people to come in and join because we said that, because that's not what we're doing. All right. It's for those who've been faithful. Of course, we have the other phases of this that will happen in the future also, past the wealth transfer situation. And so there's a lot of things going on. It will continue to move on, so God will add people as we go along. And as God speaks to them to be a part, as he does it, then there will be things that will go on in the future past the wealth transfer that will be part of the financial part of PGN that will be a blessing to everybody. And we're excited about that. We're here to establish the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, as the Lord is the one who gives all the answers. He knows everything. He knows all things about the market. He knows all things about the financial situation. We've been talking about it only because he's been giving us that information. That's the only reason that we know anything at all, is because he's given it. Just like Joseph, when Pharaoh said, "Oh, you interpret dreams," he said, "You don't understand. It's God that does it. I can't do anything." Just like Jesus. Jesus said, "I can do nothing except what I see my Father do." So as the time gets closer to all this, there's going to be a lot of pressure going on with lies and, you know, being told from the devil to people, because he wants to get people knocked off and to get them out of covenant with what God's doing here in the financial arena. Now, if you've been a host of PGN, that doesn't count. It's what you do with your money toward PGN, as we've talked about before. It's just not a, you know, God is a businessman, and the business part of God is completely different than the shepherd part of God. as we talked about that very scripturally, very biblically, made it very clear that when he took away the talents from the guy, he gave one who hid his in fear, he took it away from him. And that's the business side of God. He gave it to one who did the most. That's the business side of God. And so we're going to find out a lot about that soon. And a lot of people are going to fight that. We got witches. We got evil people, even among the Christians, the tares that are planted among the church, the body of Christ, who will rise up right about the time things are about to happen and start creating all kinds of things. So we want to make sure that you remember what we've said. You remember specifically what we've said about all this stuff, and that you remember that and not let anything else influence you, because the enemy will do that. It doesn't have to be somebody talking to you. It could be the devil talking to you, trying to lie to you and tell you, they're just trying to get something out of you. Well, we made that very clear in the very beginning that it's only those who have been giving and helping for years. And if you keep doing what you've already been doing, no added, no nothing, just keep that, then you'll be part of that. And so that is true. And we're thankful for that. So very, very important that we keep that up front so that, if you want to stop giving and go take your money somewhere else, hey, man, I understand. Go do it. Do whatever God's telling you to do. But we've said this from the very beginning. This is a money situation. This is a financial transaction thing with God. It's not how you get saved and the mercies of God and the shepherd, how God shepherds the flock. This is the business side of God, and it's very businesslike, right? So there you go. All right. Getting that right up front, trying to keep that up front. We're moving to different levels of all this stuff that we've been speaking to God's people, the blessings of God coming to his people who obey him and do what he says and who listen to his word. One thing about the word of the Lord that happens in, with a lot of people is the enemy does the same thing he's always done. The same thing. It's the same strategies, as most of you know. Uses the same strategies. I mean, it's not even anything new, but for some reason, we always fall for it. If we're not careful, we will fall for it if we're not being warned and reminded by the Lord of what to watch out for, right? It's not like we're stupid. It's just like Jesus warned people over and over again. Why? Because they were dumb? No, because, you know, we're human beings, and we need to be focused on what the Lord says focus on, because he knows when, you know, temptation or diversions are coming your way, and he's going to divert you to keep you from getting what God wants you to get. You know, one of the things is, like, one of the best examples I think of is that people who understand that the prophet and the prophetic is very important, because if he's a real prophet or she's a real prophet, she's going to be getting instructions from the Lord about the future and also about what's happening now. And also the things of the past. Prophets speak about all kinds of things, but a lot of what they speak of is the future. So we have been speaking about what's going on right now for years now, specifically with names, using Joseph Biden, saying he's going to get us in this place we're at, and it's God's will, yet it's the devil at the same time, just like when Jesus was crucified. You know, with the devil involved in Jesus being crucified, of course, but God was overall working something. We got to understand the ways of God, friend. Keep our eyes open to the ways of God. It's not instead of trying to intellectually figure it out. That's not fair. That doesn't make sense. You know what? With you and me, it don't matter what we think is fair or not. If it's in the Word of God, and especially the business side of God is very much like that. It ain't gonna be about it ain't fair. You know, yeah, I had money, but I got in fear, and I just decided I had to take care of myself. And so if you don't trust in God, man, the business out of God's going to call you on that. He's going to call you on it. He's going to call you on your fear. You took your money and you hid it. You took your faith and you hid it. You took your love and you hid it and didn't multiply it, increase it. He's going to call you on that. The business out of God will call you on that. It's not about going to hell at all. I haven't anything to do with going to hell. Actually, with Christians, whether we're obeying the instructions that God's given us or not. Well, here's one of the cool things I love about this is one of my greatest examples I think of. Back in the days of Moses, when Moses was doing things, he was a prophet. He was hearing from God specific instructions. He was part of a wealth transfer, as we know, very specifically gave time and dates, you know, gave the timing. Moses didn't know the exact timing until the 10th plague. And then God said, you know, at this plague, we're going to do that thing I told you about at the bush. right? You're going to do that thing I told you about at the bush. And so, that thing about the wealth transfer, yes. And so he said, now we're going to do it, and here's how you're going to do it. After the death angel passes over, the next day, not really the next day, right after it happens, while the death is fresh, while the destruction to the Egyptian firstborn is fresh, go right then. Because you know what, friend? God knows human nature. He knows our human nature. He knows my human nature. And he knows that especially with the Egyptians, if you didn't go and ask for that money right then, the fear of Israel and the fear of God would have kind of subsided if you'd have waited 24 hours, right? So he had them go right then, right after the death angel came, go ask for the gold. Why? Because the Egyptians are freaking out because their children are dead in front of them in the living room. Their husband, if he was a firstborn, is dead in front of them in the living room. Their animals that they loved, the firstborn, is dead in the living room or wherever they were outside in the calf stall, wherever they were dead. And at that moment was the time God says, now I'm going to give you favor. That's what he told Moses. I'm going to give you favor with the Egyptians. Well, friend, God's view of favor is a little bit mind-boggling to me. I mean, he called that favor. He said, I'm going to give you favor with them. It's unbelievable, the favor of God, the way he gets favor. Yeah, I'm going to strike dead the Egyptian firstborn, and while it's fresh, go in there and do it then, you know. Go in there and ask them for the gold. Well, that's just mean. I don't really mean it. Yeah, friend, if you try to figure that out, you're gonna come up with all kinds of things. But that's God knows more than we know, and he had them go in while it was fresh, while the fear was still fresh, because the fear hit them. That's the first time human beings were targeted in Egypt, right? And he even warned them. The Egyptians could have put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost. They could have done it. They knew about everything God warned about, everybody. God is a just God, right? So they chose not to do it. Some of them chose to get out of the hail when the hail came. They believed that word. A lot of Egyptians were saved. There are many Egyptians who were saved because when the hail came, the plague of the hail, that Moses warned them. He said the hail's going to come. And Moses even told him, he said, get your servants out of the fields. Get your cattle out of the fields because that hail's going to kill them. Oh, yeah. Well, some of them believed it. I shared that scripture a few weeks ago. Some of them believed it. Some of them didn't. Search it out for yourself. So just like the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. They knew about that. They knew about the warning. They knew everything. Egyptians thought that, you can research this. I'm just going to tell you, I've read it many, many times. The Egyptians thought lambs and sheep were abomination. So you're sure not going to put the abominable thing on your doorpost. Now, the Egyptians just thought that way. I mean, they thought that way for many years. They didn't like sheep. They didn't like lambs. They didn't like they didn't like shepherds. They didn't like sheep at all. And they're sure enough not going to put that on their doorpost, So that's why they didn't do it. Go read for yourself. It's really cool. So God knew all that, of course, and he was going to get a wealth transfer going on. So what did he do? He sets it all up, knowing they're not going to put the blood on the doorpost. The death was fresh. He says, go now, because if you wait till tomorrow, they're so hard-hearted, they'll change their mind in 24 hours. Well, but they were afraid. They knocked, the Israelites knocked on the door, and knock, knock, knock. What do you want, man? Whatever, crying. There was crying like all throughout Egypt that had never been, and never has been before, or never will be again. Egyptians all through the land, millions of them, were crying and wailing because their firstborn, not just their firstborn husband, if he was a firstborn, and their children, they all had children. Anybody who had children had a firstborn, and they were dead. Their animals, their firstborn animals were dead, and they're sitting there grieving and crying, and they have to knock on the door, and the Israelites are knocking and saying, what do you want? We want your gold. We want some gold and silver. We're going to borrow some gold and silver from you. And they were so afraid, they said, well, come on in. Yeah. What good is this going to do us if we're all dead? Because they were afraid they were fixing to die next if they didn't give them the gold and silver. That's the favor God said, I'm giving you. Yeah, is that the way you think favor is? I've never thought of favor like that before. Oh, yeah, my neighbors, God said I'm going to strike them. And, they have a lot of money in there. And go in there and just knock on the door about the time I strike them and ask them for gold and silver. And they know that your God struck their firstborn dead and your next door neighbor. I guarantee you go to their house, they're going to be saying, Cat, just take whatever you want and get out before we all die. Because they thought they were next. They did. And God set it up just like that, friend. And whether you like it or not, whether you understand, God would never do that. He's so sweet and he's so kind. Listen, you don't know God. It's not about being sweet and kind. It's about you need to get an overall view of the Word of God, man. Because if you don't, you're gonna miss out on all kinds of things that God's doing. You're gonna, well, I don't believe God would do that. Kenneth Copeland even, I don't know if he still believes it. Kenneth Copeland saying, our God would never kill nobody. It's the wrong translation. It should have been that the devil killed him, not God. You know. And by the way, I heard Kenneth Copeland teaching some things the other day that were awesome, man. He was preaching on you reaping what you sow. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and he changed some stuff. He even said he changed this many years ago. I don't know how that came up on my YouTube, but I thought, I'm going to watch that. And I watched Kenneth Copeland. I said, oh, my God, I agreed with 99% of what he said. It was unbelievable. So those of you who don't think I like Kenneth Copeland, you're wrong. But I'm very plain spoken about what God says about those things. And so that's what I talk about. So there you go. So if you think God is mean because he did that and it's not right and God didn't really do it, the devil did. Now, God was in control of every bit of it. Moses told him it's going to happen. The plague's going to happen tomorrow. It would happen. The plague's going to stop the next day, and the plague would stop. It went on for 10 plagues. 10 plagues, just like that. He was showing them that he was in, God Almighty was in complete control of everything going on, and so shall it be now. So they get out in the wilderness, right, and they start getting cocky. The Christian brothers, they weren't Christians, but they were Israelites. You know, they get out in the wilderness and they start telling Moses, you know, Moses, you know, who told you? Who says you're the only one that hears from God? You know, who do you think you are? He was a delegated authority by God, right? Everybody can hear from God, but God delegates authority to hear from God about certain things. And other people don't hear about that. But they start mixing up delegated authority with we all hear from God. So is it true we all hear from God? Yes. But there's delegated authority that God speaks certain things to that he's not speak to everybody about. And so that's the thing that was about to happen in the wilderness. And I've read the scripture before. You can go look it up yourself. But it's so amazing that, you know, so this group, this family of people were fighting Moses and say, who do you think you are, Moses? We here all hear from God. Who do you think you are to lead us through this wilderness? You know, we think we can do it too. We can hear from God. So Moses gets a little ticked off, you know, and God's a little ticked off at the same time. And he goes, and God said, now watch this, man. This is amazing to show you how this works. So Moses draws a line, you know, there, and they got this rebellious family who says, we think we're here from God just as much as you do. And Moses stands on the other side of the line. He draws the line and stands on the side. And the other guys on the other side, right, the rebellious bunch, and they hear from God, right? And Moses hears from God, except he's delegated to hear from God. So Moses says, okay, all you people who are on their side, stay over there. And all you people who are on the Lord's side and on my side, come over here, cross the line. So they all that were on Moses' side crossed the line. They stood on that side of the line. And all the other people who heard from God, obviously they said they did, about everything and anything. They were hearing from God, right? Well, we're not going to cross that line because we don't believe that God only speaks to Moses about certain things and gives him instructions about. So Moses stands there and he prays, you know, and on the other side of the line, you know, stood those rebellious people who weren't wanting to heed to the instructions from the delegated authority, and all the people were on Moses' side. And so what happened? The earth opens up and swallows up those people. Those people just, it was not funny, but it's funny in a sense because, because if they could hear from God, if they'd have been hearing from God in that delegated authority sense, they would have known that this was a setup, right? If they could hear from God, like Moses heard from God, then why didn't they hear that they were fixing to be swallowed up in the earth and to maybe not stand near that line, but get way, way away from that line? They'd have to stand on Moses' side, but if they knew the earth was fixing to open up right there, if they heard from God, then they could have heard from God, and they wouldn't have all gotten swallowed up or sucked in or fallen into the depths of the earth. The earth opened up. Well, if those people heard from God, then why didn't they hear from God? Because there's some things, friends, that God's delegated authority hears that nobody else hears. And it's hard to believe, and rebellious people, even people who are very inclined to witchcraft and witches, and I say witches, I'm not always talking about people who fly on a broom. I'm talking about people who fear rebellions upon them. And every time a servant of God says something, they stand up like, well, who do you think you are? Basically, they may not say those exact words. Well, I can hear from God, too. I'm going like, And I tell people, I say, of course you can hear from God. We all can hear from God. But there's delegated authority. In certain events that happen, God says, so in that certain event, those people didn't hear from God. Why? Because they didn't have delegated authority. Can they hear from God without Moses? Of course. But there's some things that delegated authority gets that brings instructions. And when a prophet gives instructions, those instructions are not because that person is giving them. It's because if that person is a prophet and he's getting instructions from God, if he is a prophet of God, he's going to get instructions from God. And those instructions lead you to which side of the line to stand on, so to speak. What side of the line are you on? What side of the prophet side are you on? The prophet side only represents God speaking through a human being and that human being saying what God says. Therefore, the instructions that that prophet gives are the word of the Lord. It's not just that person. They get mad at the person. Well, who do you think you are? You know, God chooses delegated authority to hear things like prophets hear the first thing. Well, they said, well, we could all be prophets, you know, and so they found out that there are even different kinds of prophets, but some prophets have a delegated authority that God gives to them that, you know, because he can't, you know, he gets delegated authority. God gives one head, and that one head, you know, if he's a true head from Jesus, he will love and appreciate everybody hearing from God. But in certain instructions, when God says this, and you got these people who go, well, you know, we can hear from God too. Okay, well, then you're going to draw the line. The instructions are, if you're going to stand on this side, you're going to be safe. You're going to be on their side, you're not going to be safe. Well, the people who rebelled, they didn't believe that. I don't believe we're not safe. You know, who's Moses think he is? 10 minutes later, they weren't around anymore. They were sucked up into the ground, they fell in there. I don't know if not necessarily about going to hell, but they were God's people, right? But they were rebellious people. And sometimes we can all be rebellious, right? So we need to understand that when God chooses and delegates authority, yes, we can all hear from God. We're not all prophets of God. And then there's a higher level of a delegated prophet that God chooses to give mantles to certain prophets about certain things, and they will hear about that, and nobody else will hear about it. Now, there can be two or three different people hearing from different delegated areas. That's the way God does it, friend, and people don't particularly understand that. Therefore, they listen to those, what I call witches, they're Christian witches and warlocks, those vegan warlocks, that really are in the spirit of rebellion. They love God, but they've got demons. They still haven't gotten deliverance. They've fallen in rebellion. And when you fall in rebellion, the demons start, you know, attaching to you. And if you don't repent, those demons will attach you. It doesn't even mean you're going to hell, but it means your life on earth is going to be full of rebellion. And every time God says something with delegated authority, they rebel against it, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. They rebel against it because that's what the Christian witchcraft or the Christian, you know, whatever you want to call it, rebellion, it's just like witchcraft. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. So it has that same knowledge about that. And so we have all kinds of people who predict the future, all kinds of things. Well, you know, what I can just say from right here, from what's been going on, if some of you have been with us for a while, you know I don't have to explain all this, but I'm only doing it to teach a lesson of how, because we're entering into some seasons, we're entering into some places that are going to be a little bit scary, and can everybody individually hear from God? Of course they can. There's no argument about that. My sheep know my voice, not just the prophet, my sheep. But there's delegated authority about things. And so, you know, delegated prophets know the future. They know the future. Witches and warlocks can predict things and make things happen that make it look like they knew the future, but they really don't know the future. They create their own, they come up with something. Information, and then they make sure that it gets done. And of course they have demons and all kinds of things working with them to do all that stuff. So here's the basic thing. Without getting off on a bunch of tangents, I want to try to stay focused here. I could go a lot of different places with this, believe me, but I'm trying to stay focused. And, I'm giving you scripture things I've talked about many times before and giving the scripture for them. You're looking at it for yourself, where the earth swallowed up, the rebellious ones that were you know, fighting against the direction and the instructions that God was giving to Moses. And it was proven over and over and over again that God was speaking to Moses. But it doesn't matter. That spirit of witchcraft gets on Christians that tend to have a spirit of, you know, I can do this myself. I'm good enough. I'm better. You know, they're very insecure, actually. But they end up rising up trying to create questions and things with people all the time. I mean, it's a pretty common thing. I've seen it all my Christian life, as well as I know most of you have, too. We're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of that. So there's this thing of delegated authority that God has given. God will usually make it public and show its proof over and over and over and over and over again. So if you've been missing what's been going on at PGN and you haven't been paying attention, you're blind as a bat. That's all I can tell you. You're blind as a bat, man. All the different things that God has done and said. Some people who pay attention, you know, some of the people listening, you know, to us even on a regular basis, not our friends, but who listen to us on a regular basis, who check into what we're saying, they don't really listen to what we're all saying, so they don't know. So what happens is that they, you know, they don't know what all has been going on. And so, therefore, they come in and they go, well, those of you who've been with us for a while, and you know, time after time after time after time, in the financial area, even the political area, especially the thing with Trump and Biden, and now prophesying that what Biden specifically was going to do is hand over our sovereignty to, you know, to the one world government, one way or the other, to NATO, which is really Europe, which is happening right now, by the way, if you're not familiar with that, if you don't know what's going on, it's all over the news. It's Christian, it's well-known Christian people talking about it. It's not some YouTube people. It's well-known Christian. Mike Huckabee had a congressman on there that said that the yuan is becoming the currency for China, your currency is the yuan. And it's now becoming very popular. They're starting to vote it in. And once that happens, automatically, I mean, without hesitation, there will be no, oh, I wonder if we're number one anymore. We will not be number one at all. And that's happening. It's actually happening. The yuan is becoming, they're working on it right now and voting on all these countries. And so once the major countries take it, all the other countries are going to follow, right? And the dollar is going to be basically, you know, that which is the American, which has kept us number one, is our currency, money, right? And that's the way it is. That's really the way it is, money. The currency has kept us, you know, number one. And now that we have a transition going on where we have leadership that looks weak, appears weak, seems weak, even though the people behind them are very strong, they have a destiny. But the face of this movement is Joseph Biden for a reason. The face of the movement now is Joseph Biden. And weak, older, some people, they talk, mock him, laugh at him all the time, which I don't like that when people do that particularly, but it is just, it's the way, that's what happens when you have that going on. But it's the perfect insight to what's really going on about America and how God set it up and God put Joe Biden in office, whether you agree with it or not. That's the thus saith the Lord. And that's the way it is. So if you don't grow up and get over that nonsense and start listening to the word of the Lord, you're gonna have the wrong instructions. You're gonna be sitting in the wrong place, and the earth is gonna fall, open up and swallow a bunch of people. You know, some are gonna be saved, some are not gonna be saved. The earth is gonna swallow up because you've been standing on the wrong side of the line in the sense of rebelling deliberately and willfully against the instructions that God has been giving. God doesn't dominate over people and tell people. We never tell people, you better do this, you better do that, or else. You know, we just like when we did this well transfer situation, we told people, this is, you know, if you've been given the PGN for many years, you're part of it. If you haven't been doing more, it's not about, you know, you fill our coffers with your money. It's about just keep doing what you've always been doing. And that was the basic strategy of the whole thing. There was no enticing people. You jump in now, because if you jump in now and you get part of this thing, like, we're enticing people. We told people that's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen, right? So that's what's been happening, and literally that's still going on. And so we're going to have all kinds of, you know, people that are on the witchcraft side, on the witchy side, the rebellious side of Christianity, not actual witches and warlocks, you know, that kind of thing, but Christian rebellious people. That are subject to that rebellious spirit are going to be doing all kinds of things. The harvest of the rebellious people are going to come forth. At the same time, the harvest of the righteous people who are going to shine forth in God's kingdom are going to come forth at the same time. We're all going to grow together. Matthew 13, verse 24, read it. We read it last night, right? It's awesome, man. when you look at that stuff. Very plain, very easy to read. You can get into some minute interpretation on that, but the overall general is that the end time is going to be about the wheat growing up and the tares growing up together. The tares specifically said it is the children of the devil. The wheat is specifically said in, not my interpretation, but in Jesus' interpretation, right, where he says they are the children of the righteous. And he's going to first gather up the tares and bundle them together and burn them, and then he's going to gather it. That's Jesus saying that, and that's in him interpreting his own parable. Don't you love it when he interprets his own parable? We're not left without going, oh, I wonder what that means, man. I don't know. That's what I do in a lot of things. I'm like, okay, shake my head like, dear God, what does that mean? But some things he just come right out and says it, you know, and it's amazing. He's going to let us all grow together. I mean, how many people contradict that right there in their doctrine? Contradict that straight from heaven, straight from the Son of Man, planting the seed of the Word of God in us and interpreting it, making it plain as day what's really going on about at the end of the age, and the angel's going to come, it's going to be harvest time, and hey, we all grew together. He didn't pluck out the wheat, man. He didn't pluck out the wheat. He's trying to pluck out the tares, y'all. Get your mind right on that. If you die and go to heaven, you weren't plucked up, you died and went to heaven. But if you're here on the earth, you're going to grow together with the tares. He said, you want us to pluck them up? He said, don't touch them. Let them grow together. Friend, that's it. That's what's happening. Get used to it. You think you're going to get out of that? Listen to what Jesus said about it. We're going to all grow together, period. Tell those people that contradict that they're preaching against the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. And if you preach any other gospel than that which Jesus preached, that's what Paul preached, and that what the Lord through the prophets prophesy, you'll be going to be cursed. In other words, you're going to be without the blessing. You're going to be the ones on the other side of the line, Christians on the other side of the line, and when the earth opens up and the financial disasters happen, you're just going to fall down right in there with it. Goodbye. We'll see you later when we get to heaven. We love you. Sorry you were rebellious. See you later. Love you. What's going to happen, y'all? Literally, not the earth can open up, but a lot of things are going to open up, and people are going to just be sucked up, sucked down. Will they go to heaven after that? Yeah, of course they will. They're born again, of course. Rebellious Christians are going to go to heaven, y'all. So if you don't think that, I'm sorry, you're wrong. If you're born again, you're born again, period. And so that's the beauty of it. And Jesus made it that way for a reason. So anyway, all right. I hope I shook you by the word of God. Kind of give a general overall message of what's going to, preparing you for what's getting ready. The earth is going to swallow, the earth swallow them up. The earth would open and swallow them up. If they'd have been hearing, their whole argument was, we hear from God. Who do you think you are, man? We hear from God, you know? Well, of course, everybody hears from God. But they're delegated Lord. So if they heard from God, then why did they stand on that side of the line? Why didn't they run way back or stand somewhere else? But they stood, right? The stubbornness and rebellion will have you standing in rebellion against God where you will not, I'm not budging. I will not budge. I hear from God. I will not budge. Please come on the other side of the line. Please. I hear from God. I know I hear from God. 5 minutes later, it's like, if they're going down to the earth swallow and be going, hey, man, I guess the Lord didn't want you here on the earth. I guess you weren't supposed to be here anymore. Bye. See you later. See you later. Literally. I'm not laughing because when God gives me examples of things, I'm like, well, that is hilarious. What a great way to explain something. It's amazing. We're going to mock the devil, y'all. Yeah. Those people can go to heaven. If they're born again, even though they're rebellious, they're going to go to heaven. We'll see them then. Those who are not, won't. You know, they'll go to hell. It's sad. But those who are born again, of course. But the thing is what are we doing here in the earth? And how we're hearing from God and how are we obeying God. That's the key that you need to get. And when God brings delegated authority and it's proven over and over and over again, in the political realm, in the financial realm, in other places, that they're hearing from God, you might want to pay attention. Just a little bit. Maybe a lot. Look at this scripture, everyone. I'm going to move on. Because I could really get wrapped up into this one. This is so hot, man. God is just, you know, even in Egypt, man, even in Egypt, watch this. Even in Egypt, the heathens thought Moses was amazing. He was a great, he was one of the greatest, he was the greatest man in the land. And yet Israel, even though all that stuff happened, well, I don't know about him. You know, there's that Christian witchcraft, so to speak, a rebellion. I don't know Moses, man. I mean, like, just because you brought us out of Egypt with the mighty hand, it doesn't mean that we don't hear from God now. We're gonna start hearing from God now. Yeah, we're gonna take it over. We're gonna hear from God now, and all this is changing, and we're gonna hear from God. Okay. And yet it says in Exodus 11:3, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants. In the sight of Pharaoh's servants, Moses was great in all the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. This is the Egyptians. They just thought, man, this guy. But no, not the – not. You know why? Because the devil loves to get in with God's people and go, you know what? I don't know, man. I like, you know, who does he think he is anyway? You know, he should be telling us everything we want to know when we want to know it, or else, you know, we're going to rebel. We're going to stop supporting him in prayer. We're going to start telling people, man, you know, like, well, who does he think he is, man? I mean, we all hear from God. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what people do. It's a spirit of stupidity. That's why I'm talking stupid. Gets on people. It gets on the Christian. But the Egyptians said, man, this man, he's like amazing. They were like wanted to worship him almost. Right? They just like, who is this guy? But not the believers. No, not that. You know, I don't know, man. Yeah, just because we never got any plagues on our side, like you told us was going to happen, and all that, and we got to walk out with all that money. And for our currency, for our new nation. I mean, now, you know, I don't know, man. It's like, I think things, the way I feel the wind shifting now. And like, I hear from God. Who do you think you are, Moses? We all hear from God, Mom. We don't hear what you're hearing. Exactly. They didn't hear what he was hearing. And they stood right there. And, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes later, they were like, the Bible said the earth swallowed them up. They were sure hearing from God, weren't they? Well, this is what I'm prophesying this. You know, this is not just teaching and yakking and trying to, you know, come against the Christian witches and warlocks, so to speak. They're not actually witches and warlocks, but they come into that spirit of rebellion. They get so stubborn. They don't even know why they're stubborn. Just like with Moses and Pharaoh. When Pharaoh's heart got hardened, he kept asking Moses, pray for me, man. Oh, God, that plague was a bad one. You please pray for me. I need prayer. He many times he did. He did. And even the sorcerers and all those people, they were like, hey, Moses, can you pray for us, man? I mean, like, come on, man. We don't know what's wrong with this idiot. I mean, this man, that's our leader, Pharaoh. We don't know what his problem is. You know, he wants prayer, and then all of a sudden the next day he changes his mind and says, oh, no, you can't. I will not let you leave Egypt. It'd be all, you know. And he just changes his mind, and Pharaoh can't even figure out why he's changed his mind. Same thing with the Christian witches and warlocks, or the rebellious Christians, you know. They love God, but they become extremely stubborn, and they will not budge. You know, one minute they're weeping, yes, oh, God, that was so amazing. The next day they're like, hey, wait a minute, I don't know why I did that. Like, I don't know who they think they are. We all hear from God. I'm going like, who said you didn't? But there's delegated authority, man. That's just the way God does it. And if you don't understand delegated authority, you're going to be on the wrong side of the line. Go to heaven. But you're going to go to heaven a lot quicker when you could have been, you know, obeying the instructions that God was given through the servant of God that was well proven time and time and time and time and time again, over and over and over and over and over and over again. And somehow they just couldn't quite listen when he said, he drew the line. He said, which side y'all on? It's like, Well, I think all the signs and wonder rounds are over. I don't think nothing can happen to us, right? Do you think anything can happen to us? I'm not crossing that line because you know what? I'm not on Moses' side. I'm on God's side. Yeah, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm not on Moses' side. I'm on the Lord's side. Well, if you know, if somebody's a prophet or a servant of God or whoever is on God's side, has been proven over and over and over and over again, and you still stand in that stubborn side and resist, friend, you're listening to the wrong instructions. And when you listen to the wrong instructions, you're going to be in the wrong side of the line when the economy collapses, when the system says you can't do this anymore unless you sign an agreement to bow down and believe what we believe. Oh, well, the prophets tried to, this prophet tried to tell you. The other one's saying, oh, no, it's all going to turn around. They're lying to you, friend. They're lying to you. It's not going to turn around. It's going that way now, and it ain't going to stop. So what do? Fall apart? No. We stand on the right side of the line. If you're not on the right side of the line by now, you probably won't ever be. Sad as that is, probably won't ever be. That's the way it's looking to me. So, because people are really stubborn, and the more stubborn they get, the more pride they get, and they just end up, you know. And I've been that way before, y'all. I've been that way, and God smote me a time or two. Smote me. I could tell you some stories about this old boy. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. So if you're having a problem with that sometimes, and you struggle with that, hey, you're not the only one. You're being warned. One of the things I do, and I'm going to take our caller. One of the things I do most of the time now, these days, especially the last few years, is I spend my time washing my blood, your blood, from my hands. And nobody can ever say it's been documented. God knows it. Now you know it's in your ears. I'm telling you, this is what the Lord is saying. I'm not just over here trying to get some attention. Yeah. Oh, God bless you. Seriously. And thank God for those that listen to his voice, listen to the Lord's voice. And we all hear from God, yeah. But some people are delegated from God about specific things, global things, and, you know, things that going on in the states and the cities. There's delegated authority. We'll tell you, not guess, not hope, not think. We'll tell you. Will say, this is what's going to happen. And then we see it happen over and over and over again, time after time after time. How many more times do you need? Well, hopefully God will give them to you before it's too late. We want you to be on the right side of everything. But you have to listen to the instruction of the Lord, whether it's coming through a jackass, or coming through your own, you know, whoever. If it's coming from a delegated authority, you might want to be listening. All right? All right, one more time, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to stop. When it came to the wealth transfer, I told people when I announced this like 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it was, that transfer had only to do with those who had been part of PGN for those years. In other words, he wasn't trying to give more, and you might get in. I made it very clear and very plain. It's all documented. It's all been documented that. If you have not been faithful to PGN financially, not in prayer, not anything else, with your finances, it's a business transaction. Now, your prayers, God will reward you for that. In other words, with your finances, it is a financial transaction of obedience, period. Just like it was with the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. When the 1 talent guy hit his and didn't do anything with it, Jesus, did you think Jesus would, if he'd have been the shepherd Jesus instead of the businessman Jesus, you'd be going like, oh, my God, he got in fear. Everybody lift your hands and lift your hands and pray for him. No, you know what he said? You wicked servant. He took it away from him. He took it away from him. Even though he still had what he started with, he took it away from him and gave it to the one who had the most. Now, why didn't he give it to the other guy and split it? Why didn't he split it? That's none of our business. None of your business. None of my business. You know, that's the way God got, and that's the business out of God, y'all. And ain't going to be no, oh, honey, you know, you got in fear and you hid your money and you hid your thing, you hid this and hid that. You know, it's going to be like, you know, we'll check some financial records to make sure, right? If people want to argue with it, we're just going to say, well, You know, this is what I see on our side, on the record side, you know, and you show us your financial records and we'll confirm that. And if we're not hearing from God, then we'll change it. But it's all going to be from transactions, just like it was with the talents. It was a transaction thing. That's the business side of God. And if you don't know the business side of God, you better get to know it. You don't play with that. Now, if you sin, you're born again, you sin, he's mercifully kind and forgives and washes it. But when it comes to business transaction, and he gives you instructions and tells you and gives you what to do with, and you did what you wanted to with it, there's not going to be no mercy on that, not in the business side of God. The other side of God, you'll get all the mercy and kindness that you'll be like, oh, man, he is merciful and gracious and kind. Yes, sir. When it comes to business, it is, what did you do with yours? Oh, I hid mine, Lord, because I know you were a hard man, and I knew you were indeed exactly. You knew I was a hard man. I reaped where I sowed not, and he came right and he said, yeah, you knew it. You knew that I was. You were warned, and you still did it anyway. Oh, he took it away from him, called him wicked, and gave it to the guy who had the most. He didn't split it between the two, which would be really fair in my eyes. I mean, why didn't he give it to the guy? He just gave half of one to the guy who had the most and half of one to the other guy who had two. He multiplied his two. That would be fair. That's what that sound in my voice, that is like the the emotional part that just gets all emotional. I'm sure that guy got it taken away from him. It was very emotional. He was already emotional. He was like, but I knew you were a hard man. I knew that, you know, that if he, I was afraid I was going to lose it. I was afraid. Exactly. What's the example God gave of the business out of God? He didn't go, oh, honey, my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, boy, what should we do, Daddy, God, Father, with it? What, take it away from him and give it to him? Okay, sorry. And that's it. Now, the shepherd side of Jesus is a whole different thing, but it has nothing to do with the business side of Jesus. You better get to know your Bible, friend. If you don't know your Bible, if you're not listening here, you're not listening. You're going to hear it here straight by the grace of God, right? You're going to hear it straight. All right. With love and compassion, and I'm keeping my hands clean of your blood by telling you, and you will not be able to turn around because all this is documented everything. You're not going to ever be able to turn around and accuse me because I made it plain and clear in every way and even telling you which side of the line to stand on and give instructions from God. You didn't have to do it. You could do whatever you wanted to. Moses didn't make them come. He didn't make anybody come. He said, this is what the Lord says. If you want to be on this side, come on in. Okay. If you don't want to do it, get on this side. Okay. Everybody had their free will. There was no manipulation. There was no wheeling and dealing. It was straightforward. And friend, that's what you're going to get here. And you talk to people, that's it. And anybody who tells you anyway is under the witchery of rebellion. Even they may be Christians, love Jesus, and talk the Bible. It doesn't matter. That's a documented statement, fact. And everybody here who pays attention knows exactly that's what was said. No enticement whatsoever. No, nothing. Just if you do what you've always done, and you'll be fine. Stop doing it for whatever reason. That's fine. Do whatever you want to do. Go whatever side of the line you want to go in. Okay, bye. We love you. Thank you very much for what you've done. We love it. But if you don't stay, you know, on the side of the line, then, you know, I don't guarantee anything. Because you may hear from God, but you're going to hear from God about that. I hope you do, because you're going to need to. This is going down, or going up, or whatever you want to say. All right. So kudos to Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And thank you, Lord, for keeping us straight with the Holy Spirit and your love and your mercy. All right. So much for speaking plainly. I love it. All right. Let's take our callers tonight. We're going to be praying over everybody. Well, thank you for being with us. If I can last to the last person, which I will, but we're going to be praying for you. So if you're asleep, that's okay. I will take your number and I'll prophesy over you anyway. Hopefully you'll be awake. But if not, that's fine. We will, if you've got your number there, you're called in, keep your number on in case you fall asleep. And I will prophesy over you whether you say you're there or not. But I hope you say you're there and give me your name and what state you're from. All right? All right. God bless. All right. Let's take our first call tonight. 769-220. Who am I talking to you from, please? Wouldn't you know, my first caller, who's Andrika, always tells me, Randy, I may be asleep if you get my number. She always tells me, I go, I understand. Oh, this, she did say, good evening. Can you please pray for Andrika and Chris? I literally first, I just read that, honest to God. And she'll hear this later, right? I honest to God, just I had not read that. And God is, you know, my witness. That's funny. That is absolutely hilarious. Good evening. Can you please pray for Andrika and Chris? I may be asleep. Thanks. You know what? We think sleeping is good. As long as you're not asleep at the wrong time, right? And now's a good time to sleep, honestly, because this is recorded where you can go back and listen to it. That's the beauty of all this stuff. All right. Thank you, Andrika and Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris and Andrika. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing them, God, that they will see the fruit of their labors, God, the fruit of their labors come forth, Lord, and even be more abundant than what they realized. Although sometimes we have ups and downs and we have different things that happen to us because of when a mother and a father, when Abraham and Sarah obeyed God, regardless of the cost it cost them, when Abraham and Sarah and many women, men and women of God obeyed God and did what God said, that he blessed them according to their obedience, even blessed their children according to their obedience. Now, their children had to obey, but what happened is, look at every kid that came from Abraham. Well, they had some issues, right? But they got right with God. And when they got right with God, God blessed them abundantly, just like God promised. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, Isaac had, you know, some issues and things, you know, he liked Esau better than Jacob, and Jacob was the blessed one, and that tells you Esau that Isaac had some, I don't know, some insight issues or something. I don't know what it was, but he was going to anoint the one, he was going to bless the one who was the rebellious one, you know, which tells you something about Isaac, and Isaac was not perfect, but God worked it and got Jacob blessed instead, and he wheeled and dealed, but he got blessed, and even Jacob was a little messed up. But yet because God's blessing was on Abraham, it came on his children eventually in a way that was exceeding abundantly above all they could even ask or think. And each generation excels greater and greater. And I thank you, Lord, for Andrika and Chris, God, their obedience to you, Jesus, that they understand that the price that they pay and the things that they choose to do for the Lord, that he sees that. Even if men forget, God never forgets. And he always honors, and he always obeys, and he always watches over them. Even when we're older and we get, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, I don't know how old you guys are. Like when you're 120, you know, if the Lord tarries, if we're not in the, the new millennium, if we're not into the millennium, the millennium. And, God's going to bless your kids. And do they all have to make their own decisions? Yeah, but God, because of your obedience, just like with Abraham's obedience, his obedience to God, God watched over Isaac, made sure that he made the right decision. I mean, he helped him. And the same thing with Jacob. Jacob made some really stupid decisions, but yet at the same time, you know, the presence of God was on him to eventually do the right thing and be blessed because of the parents. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, the blessing of God on Andrika and Chris and on the kids, God, and on the family and on their relationship, Jesus, that you bless them, you keep them, watch over them, Jesus, that they will keep their eyes upon you, that you will reconstruct things. You will reconstruct them, God, in Jesus' name, and build them in your fashion and your likeness, in Jesus' name. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to, son, please?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Randy? This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C. Could you say a special prayer for my father and Nicole's mother? Thank you.
What's your father's name? Or if you don't have to say it.
My father's name is Fred, and Nicole's mother's name is Alice. Yes.
Yes. Yes, thank you. All right, thank you. Fred? Yeah. I knew her name, but I didn't know. Your name is Fred? No way. You did say Fred. That's my daddy's name. That's my daddy's name is Fred. Freddie J. Chandler. Fred. That was my, everybody called him Fred. My dad's name was Fred. That is so cool. Wow. That is so awesome. Fred and Alice. Fred and Alice. That even sounds good. Okay, so I'm sorry we didn't flesh there. thank you, Jesus, for Fred. Lord, we thank you. We just bless Fred tonight. God, we thank you that Fred will find his way that in his heart, God, to forgive and to bless and to bring blessings upon his seed and the seed that he has, God, that his just like Abraham blessed his seed, that even though, you know, sometimes when our parents don't really believe like we do exactly, and maybe our belief system's changing, just to have their blessing, you know, is really, really awesome. So I thank you, Lord, that Fred will leave his blessing, even just as just with a father, even if it's just a father blessing, that he will do that with his seed, Father, and especially with my brother, God, in Jesus' name, that Daryl Paul will have that blessing over him, God, in the name of the Lord. And God, I just speak that, and I decree and declare that, God, in Jesus' name, the turning of your favor, God, in Jesus' name, and your mercies and your grace upon Fred, that Fred will make right decisions and that will make sure and prepare for his children and for his seed. I don't know who that is exactly, but the seed, his seed. And like Abraham took care of Isaac, you know, and Isaac took care of Jacob, like there was something taken care of there. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. And that, you know, when Abraham got ready, Jacob got ready to die, and Jacob was going to Egypt with Joseph, that he spoke the blessing over Joseph, even spoke the blessing over him. And so I thank you, Lord, for Daryl, God, that he will get that blessing. And even if our fathers may not bless us like Abraham blessed him, but there's something about that father blessing. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, and opening them up, God, to keep them from any destruction, any unnecessary destruction, God, that the obedience of Daryl will help. Even the building of obedience of the children sometimes can affect the children, can affect the parents. And I thank you, Lord, that Daryl Paul's blessing, God, will affect his father, that his father will be blessed in Jesus' name. That thank you, Lord, for Alice. But we ask you to bless Alice tonight, God. We thank you for your blessing on her, God. We all have shortcomings. We all have stuff that goes on. But, Lord, I thank you for blessing Alice, God, and causing her to know that her daughter is blessed, and that that she will see that she will know that and recognize that in the ways that she needs to, and that blessing of a mother upon her daughter in Jesus' name. And sometimes our parents don't see until it's too late. My dad never did see who I was, who I am, and wasn't him before he passed away. You know, he was a good man, very good man, but he died without seeing and knowing who I was. And one of the first things that people that knew me and my loved ones said, yeah, well, he knows now who you are, and that you're a servant of God, and you're not just a Pentecostal, you know, and he's a Baptist, you know, that he knows who you are now. And so I thought about that. I thought that's really awesome. But it's so cool if they can know that before. And so I thank you, Jesus, that acknowledgement will be important, and blessings important upon from parents to children, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that sometimes our parents don't change in ways that we think that we can see, but sometimes, God, there's changes that we can't see. And sometimes it doesn't manifest. And just like a prophet is not recognized among his family members, that's just kind of a thing that happens. I don't understand. It happens in my family too. They really don't acknowledge you as a prophet because it's such a, like, you're a what? You're a prophet. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like you're a prophet. They have a hard time with that. They can't really see it. And it's not just happening these days. It happened back then and always happens. Prophets are people that get things from God that it's hard for family members to think, hey, I was raised with you, man. You were just a regular kid. You're like, you weren't even dumber than most of the people, or maybe smarter than most people, but you never really had it all together. Like, you're one of those? Yeah, right. So we thank you, Lord, for acknowledgments from mothers to their daughters, in Jesus' name, and Nicole's place, God, that even if we don't see the things changes that we think should be yet, that God, that there will be deep changes inside of Alice, God, that will acknowledge her daughter and bless her daughter in Jesus' name, so we can have that daughter blessing from the mother. Amen. I don't know what that was about, but the father and mother blessing, amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you very much. All right. 325-280. Who am I talking to the phone, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Chris from Texas. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. God, I thank you for the power to persuade, power of persuasion, God, that you're, you know, the power of persuasion is really the power of conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction means to change. The Holy Spirit convicts us to change our mind. And I thank you, Lord, for that power of God in his life that will convict people or convince them that, you know, God is really true and right in these ways. Maybe they don't believe it in the Bible, but somehow, some way, God, through Christian's life, God, that people will be convinced that God is God. He's the God of the Bible. He's the God who says he is. And most people so underestimate God that they need someone in their life, someone around them that will be standing in and believing God for what the Bible says can happen and standing in for that. That's why Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were so blessed, and other people too, and Joseph, because they stood in. You know, it just got in their blood, Chris. It got in their blood. Look at Joseph. It just got in his blood, man. He was rejected. He was messed up for 15 or so years. I mean, totally taken away from his family. And it was something in his blood that was convinced somehow or another, some way, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to be God. And you have that in you, bro. It's hot, man. And it's amazing. And it's powerful. You just, there's something that you may, in many areas of my life, when it comes to the really big things that God's calling me to do, in those moments, I say, I believe you're going to use me, but help my unbelief, because I just know who I am. I know I'm a regular guy. But when God speaks to me, I know things that, you know, I can't even explain how I know them. It's just God. And so God does things with me that are in the Bible. And he's doing things with you and going to do things, continue to do things to you and with you and through you that are in the Bible. God's looking for people, Chris, that will believe the Bible, the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached, and not another gospel that has a bunch of nonsense to it and tagged all this stuff that we've added all this stuff because we think it's okay that we just do whatever we want because, you know, I think God's going to bless anyway because we're just doing it for Jesus. God doesn't need us doing things for Jesus. He needs us obeying his voice and believing for the Bible, the Word of God, the way the Word of God says it, that's what's going to be done. And those who stand on that crest like you're doing, what God's going to do is he's going to stand with you when everybody else is going to fall apart because he's going to show them that, hey, I'm with him. See that? He tried to show you. Look, you're falling apart. He's not. Why? Because he believes the Bible. He believes the Word of God is going to happen. And because of that, thank you, Jesus, for that blessing in Christian life, God, in Jesus' name. And it's not that people, you're going to be standing, those people are going to fall forever. It's that they're going to be falling, just, you know, like Peter sunk, you know. And Jesus had to go to him and say, hey, man, where's your faith at? I just see you going to people and say, hey, man, you know, where's your faith at? You know, God's with you, you know. He can help you. You can make it through this thing. Just start believing God, the God of the Bible. Just start believing Jesus. Jesus, you know, means what he says. He means what he says. And he's going to do what he said. And he's just looking for people that will do what he says and believe what he says is going to happen today greater than it's ever happened before because that's the promise we have of this generation. And that's why things are going to get worse than ever, greater than ever. And they can't see that. They're blind to that because of false doctrine, false teaching. But it's going to be greater than it's ever been. It'll be amazing. We have nothing to be afraid of. We have everything to look forward to. And thank you, Lord, for Chris, God, that you've chosen him for that, to be fearless and yet broken and humble and needy. Like the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, in that weakness. In our weaknesses, we know ourselves. We know without him we can't do anything, and that's the very thing that makes us candidates for the Bible, the Word of God, to come to pass in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let it be done. All right, 704-614. Who am I talking to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. This is John and Deborah from South Carolina.
John. Oh, Deborah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Deborah, our host, Deborah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Deborah and John. All right, thank you, Lord, for Deborah and John. Lord, I thank you, Father, for, you know, a captured audience. God, you're gonna place people in positions to where they're going to be a captured audience. They're not going to be able to get away from it. They're going to be have to stand right there and look at it and see it. Because sometimes God just says, I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to get your attention. And when I get your attention, see, that's what God's doing. He wants our focus. Deborah and John, he wants our focus. And we've got to focus on the Word of God and what the Word of God is saying. And we're going to all make mistakes. We're all going to, you know, we're all learning. We're all growing. And when you're learning and growing, you don't always do it right every time. I don't do it right every time. Now, I'm in the prophetic realm, I'm growing and learning. You know, I've learned a lot in that area and have a lot more to learn. But, you know, so the more we learn, the more, you know, things get precise and precision, and you become more fearless in the sense that, you know, you don't know anything, but you know the God who's showing you knows, and you know the difference between you don't know and he does. And so this whole thing of God's he's trying to get our attention so that we will focus on him. Jesus, in a sense, tried to get Peter's attention. When Jesus told Peter to come on the water, he said, because Peter says, do I come? And, you know, because he wasn't sure. And, like, this was a big thing because he was the only one doing it. They were all in agreement. Yeah, let's have a board meeting. I think we're going to walk on the water, right, because Jesus is walking on the water. We can walk on the water. We have a board meeting to vote on this. Now, there was no voting. There was no nothing. He just said, hey, we're going to do this thing. And Peter was, like, out on his own, you know. Hey, and they were probably all saying, no, don't do it. That's not – we're having a council meeting. We're saying, don't do that, Peter. You'll drown. You know, Jesus will get back to the boat. Don't worry. But Peter goes, nah, I think I remember him saying, you know, several times, you know, if you can focus on me, you can do what I say, you'll do what I do, right? If you can focus on me, you can do what I do. So as long as Jesus and Peter was focusing on Jesus, he could do what Jesus was doing. But as soon as we get our eyes on, well, what about that storm? And what about this? What about the guys in the boat? What about the boat floaters, the float boaters, boat floaters? What about the Christian, I call them the Christian board meeting boat floaters. They're floating in the boat, and they're just trying to hang on for dear life. But yet God's got a crew. And those people are fine. I mean, they all made it. But guess what? People's looking for somebody to do the day of Pentecost. Let's see who will be working Pentecost now. We're going to have Pentecost in a couple of years, and let's see who's going to be a good candidate for that. Well, the boat floaters weren't really a candidate for it. Anyway, they were, you know, in the boat floating business instead of walking on the water and just on Jesus. So I see God really getting your attention and at a new level, to where a level you've never been, and grabbing your attention and getting your focus so that you can know, you can not just guess, not just reading the Bible, go, I hope I can do this, but get focused on Jesus and know that what the Word of God is saying, you can do it. Because not just because we can do it, but because you're focused on Jesus. I see God getting your attention, you know, in some amazing ways to say, come on, Deborah and John, you can walk on the water. Come on. Trust me to do what I say I can do. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for opening that up, God, and turning their focus on you, Jesus, in ways that they never have had. I mean, I've been very focused on the Lord, but I'm finding myself becoming very, 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 very focused on the Lord. And the more things get intense and the more the pressure comes and the more we hear the prophets say, at least this particular prophet, what's going on and what's happening. It's been confirmed over and over again what's happening. I've been given precise information about this, and it's happening exactly. It's not just me saying it now. Congressmen are saying it. Leadership is saying what I'm saying. They're doing that. What God has been showing me for the last 3 years. Now, who can know that? But only God knows that stuff. We spoke it specifically and precisely. And if that thing, the reason that was for is to get people's attention that there's somebody in the camp who's listening to God. Why? So we can all, you know, no. So we can know that God cares, God knows, and if we can get our focus on Jesus instead of the storm that's raging now, instead of the storm that's getting close to hitting, and we get, oh God, no, oh God, God, no, God. and we get our eyes on the storm because the boat floaters are screaming out. They're screaming. They're crying. They know they're going down. And yet, you know, they didn't, but it showed who was going to be the Pentecost preacher, and that was Peter, who preached on the day of Pentecost. And the other ones, you know, did their thing, and it was great. God used them, but, you know, sometimes we go through tests to see how much we're focused. Because the storms will tell you how focused you are. Because the more focused you are, the less fear you have. Peter had no fear when he was focused on Jesus. Yet he knows storms. He's seen storms destroy boats and ships and probably many, many disasters. And he knew that. He had prior relationship with storms. So he should have feared it more than anything, but he got so focused on Jesus just for a little bit, enough to walk in the supernatural realm. God, and I thank you, God, that that's what you've chosen them to do. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for opening them up for that, letting them get into the Word of God and realize the Word of God is even more real than they already know it's real. We all know the Word of God's real, but God's about to open it up to get our attention on how real the Word of God is, in Jesus' name. Because the storm's going to be raging, and guess what? There's not going to be a rapture that's going to get us out of the storm. And God, we're going to go through the storm, we're going to walk in the storm, and Jesus is going to be right there with us. And it's going to be absolutely mind-boggling, amazing, unless, of course, you get your eyes on the storm and you get sucked up into the storm. Yeah, that's what we don't want, right? Our focus on Jesus, no fear. And even if we make mistakes, guess what? We start sinking. He takes hold of us. Says, man, you know, you did good, boy. You did really good. But where was your faith at? In the storm or in me? In what people say? In what the government says, or what the word of the Lord is. Amen. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that John River, God, have their eyes focused on you, Jesus, and help them to make decisions knowing that that we don't hide things in fear, but that we do what you say. Amen. If we hide things in fear, we're going to lose. So we go to heaven, we're going to lose our blessings on the earth and our rewards on the earth, not just for us, but for the will of God to be done. God rewards us for his purposes to be increased, not just to pad our pockets. The rewards are to increase his will being done in the earth, period. And we get blessed in the middle of it all. Jesus told Peter, go fishing. You're going to get your taxes and my taxes, right? So when he caught the fish, wow, the first fish had gold in it. Oh, my God. Just like Jesus said. And it met Peter's needs and met Jesus' needs. And if we don't keep it like that, if we take the money, oh, you know, Peter would have got and said, oh, Jesus, it wasn't enough for your stuff. Just here's a little bit for you. And you know, I had to say, I had a lot of stuff. I forgot to say, sorry, Lord. You know, is there another fish I can go get? No, you know, he Jesus is a partnership. Even in our partnership, we get 90 and he gets 10. And that 10 belongs to him, right? Right, it really does. So we're faithful in that. God's going to bless us. Amen, for sure. And it keeps our focus on him. All right, amen. Y'all are focused. Bless God and getting more focused all the time. Thank you, Jesus, for your focus on the Lord and for the power of God you're going to walk in because of that. Amen. All right, God bless you guys. Thank you. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 111. All right, 111. All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for 111. We thank you, Lord, for the controversies and for all the things that are controversial, that God, that you teach my friends how to get into the Word of God and ask God for themselves and to read the Word of God without twisted sister and to get alone with Jesus and alone with God and say, God, I don't know what this means. You know, I'm not a Bible scholar, but what do you say? And I guarantee you the Holy Ghost is going to show you things that will help you personally. The Holy Spirit is going to show you things that you can't learn from men. You're going to get things that men can never teach you, especially about your own circumstances and your own way. And then he's going to confirm it to you. It doesn't make any sense to read the Word of God in some ways, you know, your daily life. It doesn't make any sense to read the Word of God to find an answer there. But it does. It just does because it's made for your daily give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because the daily bread is for daily life, right? And so God revealing his daily word to you so you can know that the Bible is what God said it is, and it's for you. The thing is, friend, it has to be revealed to you. And when it's revealed to you personally, why getting people's interpretations and all that, maybe right, half right, three quarters right, maybe all right. But what does it mean to you? He asked Peter, but who do you say that I am? Who do he forgot everybody, who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ. And he said, my Father has revealed that to you. And so, you know, that's the thing. You know, when God makes it, when Peter realizes Jesus was the Messiah, it changes everyday life. I guarantee it. Now, what would that change his life? I mean, if he knew the Messiah, he knew he was the Messiah, what's that going to do? Everything. It changes the way you think. Think about yourself. Think about him. Now you know. You're not just hearing because Jesus even told you. They believe because Jesus told them. But when they believe, because when Peter believed that the Father told him, it changed the way he thought about Jesus every day in his life. Amen. His own personal life, his own personal ministry with Jesus, his own personal everything with the Lord. And so, Lord, I thank you for that revelation of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 214-646. I'm going to talk to Richard, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Good to have you tonight.
Terrence and Tanisha.
All right, thank you, Lord, for your blessing, Father. That was a big guzzle of water. I hope y'all couldn't hear that because it probably sounded horrible, but that, I'm keeping hydrated. Stay hydrated, everybody. Stay hydrated with the spirit of the water of the Word. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing that when we get hydrated with the Word, with the water of the Word. Now, there's the meat of the Word. We need that. But you know what? Without the water of the Word, it's hard to wash things down. But the meat of the Word is like, I need some water. Give me some water. Hurry up. Give me some water, man. When I get to sneak out and give me a hamburger, you know, I don't get Cokes. I don't drink. I don't order a drink. I just get the hamburger, you know, and I always get the triple Whataburger. Everybody can know what I get now. With sliced jalapenos and no cheese. And I take the top piece of bread off and I eat the thing. And, man, it's like, but I get everything. Oh, my God. I forgot to get my water thing, the free water. I ran back up there. Ooh, look, there's some water. Please, I get some water. You got to wash that stuff down, man, with some the washing of the water of the Word. It washes. It washes. It just doesn't wash our stuff away, our sins and our problems and issues, and that wash away the slime that people throw on us during the week. But it is the washing down of the hamburger, of the meat. Lord, I thank you for showing Tanisha how to combine her Holy Ghost hamburgers, which are so awesome, down with some water when it gets about halfway down her throat. She, oh, my God, I got to have some washing of the water of the Word so I can wash this down, right? Because the water of the Word washes things down. Not only does it wash us and cleanse us from the slime that gets thrown at us and the world itself, we have to stay clean of that, but, Lord, show her, lead her and guide her how to drink the water from the well of your salvation and eat the meat and the food that you give her, Jesus. Because sometimes God doesn't give us too much meat. You know why? Because we haven't learned how to drink the water yet. Right? I'm telling you, man, try eating a bunch of meat, you know, many times without having a little bit of water sometimes. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I can do it, sometimes I can't. But wash that down with water? Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Lord, for the washing of the water of the Word, God, in Jesus' name. And that to not just eat, so we can eat more meat. We can eat more of the meaty things, more and more and more and more meat all the time, the meat of the Word. And you know, and not get choked on it because we have the water of the Spirit. So thank you, Lord, for that balance of the drinking of the Spirit and the eating of the Word and the worship, how worship sometimes helps to wash down things. Helps to, you know, get it down in our gut, get it down into the depth of our heart where it's planted deep. And then there's, of course, the washing of the water of the Word, the watering of the Word that we water the seeds with. And God's showing her the difference between what the water of the Word is, different from the meat of the Word. Two different things, right? I can't feed you milk, he talks about. You know, so, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for opening it up in Jesus' name about the Word of God. That she craves so much, Lord, just like I do. We all crave the Word. We want to know what the Word of God means. Like Terrence wants to know, we're craving the Word Lord, without the word, with Terrence, God, I thank you for Terrence, and without that craving, because you've given him a craving for the word of God, to understand the word, to know the word, is really to know you. Because when we understand the written word, it just helps our relationship with Jesus. It's not just about, and you know all this, it's not just about head knowledge. It's about we get knowledge of the head. What's his name? Jesus is the head. He is the head. And we get knowledge of it. We just get head knowledge. We get knowledge of the head, which gives us experience with the head. Amen. So we go from head knowledge to knowing the head, right? It was our heart. And I thank you, Lord, for that craving of the Word of God. The more we get breakthroughs mostly because of cravings, you know, of your hunger level. It's the hunger level. When I see people are really hungry, man, I mean, sometimes they'll just eat anything in sight, which isn't always good because they're so hungry for God that it's like, oh, yeah, let me have some of that. And give me some of that. And give me some of that sweet stuff. And it must be, and give me some of that. And they're eating everything. After a while, they start realizing, ah, man, I ate all that. Not all that was really good for me. So I got to find out. I got to find out what to eat, how to eat, what to eat, what to drink, what not to drink. You know, from teachers and what from preachers, and what are we drinking from them, and what are we eating? What are we eating? What's really in that food? And you know, the wise men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and didn't eat of the food of the kings, right? Because of the spices in it. There's nothing wrong with meat, but when you spice it up with all that stuff. They said they were wiser because they only ate vegetables for a season. I'm not a vegetarian at all. I'm a meat man all the way. But that for a season, they ate, you know. So eating is important on how we have wisdom. Our food, the word that we process is what gives us knowledge of Jesus. Amen. That's why they told, why Jesus told the Pharisees and all of them, he said, you guys get all this knowledge, and you think having that knowledge, you know, that you get salvation. But that's all about me. All that writing is about me. And see, they totally missed that, as we do to do today too sometimes. We forget. And I forget all the time. God's always reminding me to eat my body, drink my blood, and remember who this is all about. And that's why I have to eat his body and drink his blood on a regular basis, because it helps me remember who I'm eating. All this stuff is about him, about the person, even the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But look at all the monsters and all this stuff. Because he's revealing all that. When we get to know Jesus in the Word, we get to know what's going to happen because he's telling us. It's a relationship thing with his Word, God. I thank you for that. With Terrence, amen. And for the opening of the craving of the Word, the fulfillment of his cravings in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 912-318. You want to talk to your phone, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robert and Sandra from Georgia.
Hey, y'all, how are y'all doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing good.
Okay, good. I'm really having some tough times going on there. But all right, thank you, guys, and thank you for thank you, Jesus, for things they're going through today, God, the text I got from her and them, Jesus, with family issues, things going on with family things. God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace. God, we thank you for the way you deal with things, the way you protect, the way you guide, the way you lead, the way you intervene in situations, God, to save us, to deliver us, to help us. There's so many different ways that God intervenes, you guys. I know you know that God intervenes in so many different ways. And so when we have something go on, sometimes we have to say, was God intervening? Was the devil trying to mess up something? Was God intervening? Because sometimes we don't know, you know, like with tornadoes, you know, was that a God thing, or was that a devil thing, or was it just a thing? You know, it was just a weather thing. That, you know, so sometimes it's just a weather thing, but it all can work together. So was it Satan, or was it God, or was it just a weather thing? To know what that thing was, God, and to know how God was intervening, in what manner. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving them revelation on the intervening and intercessory of God. Intervening in a situation to change it, intervening in a situation to God, knowing the past, the present, and the future, knowing what sometimes has to be done to take care of business and do things, that God has intervened in all these different ways. And we thank you, Jesus, for that in Jesus' name, and making known your ways. This is all about the ways of God, not just about what everybody says it means, right? And I know you guys know that. we got to, just like we're talking about tonight about the prophet thing, the prophet's not the only gift at all, but the prophet is a very special place, and knowing, you know, knowing things. You know, prophets speak very rough sometimes, talk very rough talk, like God, you know, giving favor to the Israelites with the Egyptians. And what he meant by favor was, I'm going to smite their firstborn and then go after the money. That was the way he got favor. It's like, doesn't make any sense. And we're laughing about it. But at the same time, it wasn't funny, but it was funny. You know, like, oh, you're going to give us favor? Oh, awesome. So we're just going to go ask the neighbors for their money. They're going to give it to us. He says, no, just wait till after midnight. And there's going to be some things that are going to go on that's going to shake them up a little bit. And the firstborn's going to be dead. And the firstborn, you know, all the firstborn of Egypt who don't have the blood of their foot are going to be dead tomorrow in a couple of hours. And when they do, go then. And they're going like, that's favor? Yeah, it was favor. That's what God told Moses. I'm going to give you your people favor. Favor. And look how he gave them favor. Sometimes favor is like, woo, nah. Oh, Lord, I hope I'm not on the wrong end of that favor anytime, son. Jesus, help me be on the right side of things. Help me be on the side that God is intervening and God is doing, instead of being on the other side where the things are happening to them, in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord, for your intervening, all the different ways you intervene, and showing them, God, how you do it and the purpose of things and your will and how you're working things out for their good, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 214-288. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Prophet Randy, is Daniel in Oklahoma, and Carmen in Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right, Daniel from Oklahoma. And, man, that's a strange mix. Oklahoma and Texas? That's T-O. Not B-O. I didn't say B-O. It's T-O. Different than body odor. It's like, something really good. It's good. You know, like not B-O, but T-O. Yeah. Really good. Like, anyway, and I don't know why I went there exactly. It's like T-O, two, and this too shall be. There you go. And this too shall be. Yeah, let me look that up. I mean, I get words in funny ways sometimes, so I'm going to go with this and look at it. And this too shall be. Let me look at this. There's a scripture talk about that somewhere. And this too shall. All right, let's go with this too. T-O, Texas and Oklahoma. All right, let's go here. Okay, I'm trying to find that scripture. And, you know, I got to follow the leading here. Okay, let's go here. All right. So it's not even talking about just two ships in the past, because it's T-O-O. But anyway, so it's really basically this too shall. Sometimes it's this too shall pass. Sometimes it's this too shall pass. This too shall come to pass. Okay, I don't know where that's going exactly, but we thank you, Lord, for that. I might look into that a little bit and see what that is. But that's pretty awesome. That'd be something to look into. Yeah, and is this too shall pass? I thought this too shall come to pass. I'm glad this is a spontaneous show, you know, so you have to bear with me here. And this too shall come to pass. All right. You know, we're going to work this thing until we get it, right? That's what we do right here. Okay. All right. So somebody said that King Solomon decided upon himself to go to the jeweler and design a ring with the inscription in Hebrew saying, Gamzi Yavor, which means this too shall pass. Over the years, the phrase has been widely used, even in, by Abraham Lincoln himself and others. So y'all hit a brown one. Where this is going to go here. Let's see if I can pass. Yeah, used to indicate that a current situation or event, no matter how wonderful or horrible it is, will not last forever. Okay, something like that. All right. God said, I am the Lord. I have spoken. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back. I will not spare. I will not relent according to your ways and your deeds. He will bring his judgment on, of course, we get judged righteously by God for doing God's things right, things, good things in the past. And those who walk in unrighteousness, of course, that judgment comes on that. So we're looking here at, you know, this too shall pass. It's the only thing I can really see on this. It came out right out of my mouth, so I just kind of go with it, as you know. Paul and those Christians that keeps them from being wiped out. They don't quit because even after they die, they know that they will be resurrected. So anyway, it's kind of talking about that in general terminology. So their sufferings are erroneous because they know that they're not going to be wiped out. They're going to be protected. And in the end, God's going to get his way. So it's like, you know, yeah. All right, so there's a lot of sayings about this too shall come to pass, and I'm trying to find that when things are bad, remember, it won't always be this way. Take one day at a time. I'm reading this. When things are good, remember, it won't always be this way. Enjoy every great moment. All right, awesome. All kinds of little sayings with that. I'm just reading these real quick. When things are bad, remember, it won't always be this way. Take one day at a time. When things are good, remember, it won't always be this way. Even enjoy every great moment. All right. So it's this life changes, and we remain in the Lord. You know, yeah. So even good things don't always stay all the time, right? We have to be prepared for ups and downs and never get our eyes on, you know, Paul the Apostle says, I'm content in whatever state I'm in. Because he knows this too shall pass. You know, it's not always going to be great, and it's not always going to be bad. We're going to have those times and seasons, and that's a sober-minded. Most people don't want to they don't want to think about that. They always want to think everything's going to go good. We have to be prepared for when things are going really great, that, you know, it might shift a little bit. We go through some struggle and battle, and then we come out on the other side. We walk through a valley. We come up on the mountaintop. We walk through a valley. We come up on the mountaintop. And so keeping our minds sober on that, knowing that, we're prepared, we're not ignorant. You know, of course, like us, the older we get, the smarter you get. You know that those good things don't always last forever, right? Because stuff goes up and down. But God always works them out for our good, right? So there you go. Started out with T&O and ended up being that. So hallelujah, that's awesome. Right? We're prepared for all things. And we need to prepare people for that, too. We need to prepare people for, you know, sometimes life is good, sometimes it's hard. And we prepare people for that. When they're prepared, they will know that, you know, they just really enjoy the great moments and learn that the hard times, they're going to teach them something, they're going to grow through it. And because people don't realize that you go through both, they're going to reject it if they're not made for both. If you're not prepared for both, you know, you're going to get messed up. If we tell people all the time, it's always going to be good. It's always going to be wonderful. All right? All right. Hang on a second here. right, y'all, give me just a second here. We have a little minor issue. I'll be right back. All right, I am back, and thank you for that. Hallelujah. A little problem there. All right, yeah, and that's conversation it to. Yeah, it is to. The preposition to refers to a place, direction, or position. The particular to is used before the verb in a to infinitive. The adverb to means also very, extremely, or additionally. It is to, not to. Right. Very good. Very good. I can say I don't know what's going on with that, but So to. Very interesting. So y'all, you know, look into that and see what it says and see what you think, and then let me know. I just got the, you know, I started out with to because you said Texas and Oklahoma, and that just what came into my mouth. And y'all know how it goes. I just start my best way of trying to understand that. And so as in. Yeah, so I know it's good. And so, you know, so it's good. All right, awesome. Very, very good. All right, so y'all know that I'm a human being and I don't know everything. I get information and I give it, and if you guys take go with that, that would be awesome. And thank you for letting me know about that. You're so right. Because it was T.O. It's Texas and Oklahoma, like T.O. And so y'all heard how it got started, and you know how I do things and how God does things through me sometimes. So there you go. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. Honest to God, thank you. I really appreciate any kind of inquiry, any kind of help I get on the show. If you guys know, I relish it, and I truly appreciate it. So, so who's the word for, Daniel or me? I don't know. I just got T.O., and, you know, maybe, I really don't know. So, sometimes I get words when people are calling in for two. Sometimes I get a word for both. Sometimes it's just a word. I don't really always know everything. You know, I'm real honest about myself. If I know exactly, I'll tell you. But you're asking me, and honest to God, I wish I could say I don't know. All right. That and see what goes on about it. So I can't say things that I'm not going to say things that I don't know. But it got started with that, and so thank God. We'll get more on it later, and maybe God will show more. Because it was, you're right, it was T-O, not T-O-O. Yeah, so thank you for that. And I love this stuff, man. Yeah, we're going to go with what we got there. Thank you, Frank. Thanks for that. All right, 402-650. Who am I talking to you from, please?
It's John from Omaha.
Hey, John. All right, John, thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you, Jesus, for that John boy. You know, John boy. What was it, John boy? What was that? Back in the day, you should watch that John boy back. What was the name of that show? I can't even think of the name of it, but Big Family. You know, it was a really good, great show. And John Boy was the guy who was kind of the older brother. And okay, I'm trying to move past that last word. Hopefully the sound is better. You guys let me know if the sound gets bad again. Thank you for that. Sometimes we have sound problems, and thank you for letting me know about that. All right, you know, Little House, not Little House on the Prairie. What was the name of that, John? John Boy and his family and his brothers and sisters, and they were, you know, they had family issues just like everybody does. They went through good times and bad times, and they it wasn't Little House on the Prairie because that was somebody completely different, but it was something like that. The Waltons. Thank you. A couple of people sent that, you know, Waltons. Yeah, thank you. It was the Waltons. Now, I don't know what that means, John, but John Boy, you know, he was a good guy who had a love for people. He loved his family. He loved right. He loved doing things right. He was honest. He was a good man. He had a lot of good things going for him. And I think maybe, you know, you fit into that, you know, type of scenarios that you know, all I know about John Boy is that he was a great guy. I prophesied him many times, right? You know that. And I've never had that before that I remember. It just came right out of me, John Boy. And so, you know, if you don't not familiar with those shows, they were on, The Waltons was on. It was a TV series back when I was younger that was amazing and great stuff, man. They don't have stuff like that anymore. But it was about John Boy. Part of it was his family and his father and his mother and things they went through and struggles and battles and issues. And they just, you know, worked things out. They stuck together. They loved each other. And I think God's just trying to show you tonight, say to you tonight, that he's considering you as that, like, you know, like John Boy. He was, he loved God. He was a family man. He wanted family. He wanted things, you know, pure and innocent and beautiful. And I thank you, Lord, for John. I thank you for giving him those desires, God, and opening him up to that and letting him walk in the paths, God, that you've called him to, Father, to do the right things. And even with the mistakes and failures that John Boy did, which were, you know, I mean, it was just real raw, human, everyday stuff, things that they went through and struggles and battles that he had and how he, you know, came through it. And it was sometimes difficult, but it was very real. And I thank you, Lord, for that and blessing John, that you've given him a heart for that, God, and opening him up to fulfill that in his future, Father, to have that kind of a family situation going on in his own life, in Jesus' name, and be blessed with family. One way or the other. And that'd be a big family, but family where you feel like you got family, where people love each other, care about each other, lay their life down for each other, will fight for each other, and the heart you give in John for that. Amen. All right, 901-501, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Daniel and Debbie from Memphis, Tennessee, and pray for Basil.
Basil?
Yes, sir.
Basil, okay. Okay, Daniel and Debbie and Basil. Is that right, Daniel? Did I get that right?
Yes, sir, you got it right.
Okay, thank you. All right. We got Daniel, Debbie, and Basil. Daniel, Debbie, and Basil, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your confirmation of confirming things, showing Daniel and Debbie how to walk in that confirmation realm, where they get confirmation, but they get confirmation from God, that God brings confirmation. You know, people can confirm things sometimes, you know, and there can be different levels of confirmation between human beings, which is not really a bad thing, but, you know, confirmation from God is a higher level confirmation that, you know, that we can walk in. Where God is confirming his will and not just confirming, you know, a thing, but his will so much. God's will can confirm things, but it's you know, God's confirmations, confirming things always leads you to his will, to his purposes. And I thank you, Lord, that every person you choose to do different things with, not everybody has the same exact road to walk around. We all walk the same road of Jesus. But Jesus has many different roads for us to walk down on what our purposes are, whether we're a toe, whether we're a little finger, whether we're part of the, you know, the leg, the arm, the lips, whatever we are, the eye, the nose, whatever part we are, God, that every part has a different way of doing things, and everything has to function together. And I thank you, Lord, that you will begin to confirm with Daniel and Debbie that all the things that you're dealing with, that you're progressing them forward and toward. I thank you, Jesus, that you're doing that and you're showing them your ways and confirming your ways with them so they'll know they're being led by God Almighty and not just by wonderful people who care about them, but by the Lord Jesus himself. Sometimes the Lord Jesus can use some really goofy people to confirm things. I mean, sometimes he does it like that on purpose. So we know that they didn't just say it because they like us. Maybe they think we're sweet or nice or whatever. But they're used to confirm it because they know that, you know, they're just as goofy as they can be and whatever, that they don't really like us and whatever. And God confirms, knowing that it wasn't just some man-pleasing job, but it was God confirming things. You know, just like the donkey and Balaam, you know, where God used the donkey to, you know, stop him and, you know, anyway. And confirmed it by the donkey talking. It's called donkey talk. The donkey talked. It's called donkey talk. And, you know, told him, you know. Anyway, very, very cool. And thank you, Lord, for that. We thank for Basil, God. For Basil, we ask you to bless Basil. Give Basil the strength to make the right decisions at the right time. Because the right decisions lead us directions. And the directions that we go means we end up in a certain place. And we want Basil to end up in all the right places and be there on time and be there enriched with God's blessing and be there knowing that Basil is not compromising and not compromise. Well, compromise does is water down the instructions. If you water down the instructions, you end up really going nowhere. So we have to be the straight and narrow path means we obey the instructions of God that God gives us because they lead us to a specific path. Into a specific place, and if they're watered down, you don't end up in a specific place. You end up kind of in a general zone, and you're not in the right place at the right time. Therefore, you might miss, you know, the blessing. So it's very important to not compromise, but obey God's instructions to the fullest, right? It's not about going to heaven. It's about being in the right place at the right time, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 941, I'm going to say 941-524. Hello, 941-524. Who am I talking with from, please? All right, 941-524, are you there? All right, I don't know who that is, but it doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord, for 941-524. Thank you, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God, the conviction. We have to be convicted of the Holy Spirit. You know, when God gets ready to just lead us to do something, he convicts us. He, you know, he brings our mind to change the mind. He gets our mind to think his thoughts instead of our thoughts. Our thoughts can just lead us our direction. His thoughts, when they convict us, when our heart is changed, when our mind is changed, the changing of the mind and the change of the heart, you know, it that's what takes us the right direction. So I thank you, Lord, for my friend tonight, God, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Will be what our friend lives by, and not just by the convictions of, you know, what he thinks or what she thinks or what they think, but it's what God says. What is God saying? And what is God confirming? You know, supernaturally, not just some half-baked thing out there, but what's being confirmed. Because when God gets ready to confirm something, he doesn't just do it in our own little world. He will do it outside our world to make sure that it's not just our world confirming our stuff, right? So he'll confirm things outside of our world. In other words, things we have no control of, because sometimes we'll confirm our own stuff, you know, and it happens all the time with people. It's human. It's regular. It's, you know. Christian people have confirmed their own stuff all the time. So God will confirm things outside our own world where we have no control, where we didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, boom, it shows up. I'm like, man, we just talked about that like last week, and there it is. That kind of stuff and specifics and confirming those things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 912-805. Can we talk to you from, please? 612-805.
Hello, Randy.
Yeah. Hi.
This is Joyce. From Minnesota and Blossom, and please pray for my mom, Lily.
Okay, and Joyce, Blossom, and Lily. Okay, all right. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, Joyce, Blossom, and Lily. Joyce, Blossom. When I wrote Blossom down here, you know, it's not your phone, you know, it'll write out what it thinks you want. And Joyce, honestly, it wrote, instead of blossom, it goes blossomed, you know, like blossom, blossomed, B-L-O-S-S-O-M-E-D, instead of B-L-S, B-L-O-S-S-O-M, it spelled it out for me, blossom, and I started to erase, I thought, no, I'm going to leave it on there, I think it means something, blossomed, blossom, blossoms, blossom is going to blossom into the will of God, the purposes of God, the places of God, the thinking of God, that when blossom's mind blossoms, that it will blossom with the Word of God, it will blossom from the Word of God, it will blossom out of the Word of God, and therefore she will think, she may not be thinking, you know, 1 John 3:7, but she'll be thinking, you know, what the general Word of God is saying. And when you do that, you know, you end up, you know, God uses you. You think like God thinks. You think like the Word thinks. You think like, you know, you may not be thinking Scripture, but you think like Scripture. You think, you make decisions on, well, you made that decision, yeah, last week. Oh, that decision's in the Bible. Oh, but it's in the Bible? Wow, I didn't know that's in the Bible. Oh, it's in the Bible. So she makes decisions that are from the Word of God, out of the Word of God, without necessarily it being, you know, a particular Scripture. Like her mind thinks like the Lord thinks and makes decisions, you know, that are godly decisions. And yeah, so in Jesus' name. And before we pray for Lily tonight, God, I think for Lily, God, we ask you to bless her, God, to confirm her, God, her relationship with you, Jesus, and her, where she's at, where she's going, what's happening with her, Father, that she will be protected and kept from, that her life will be with God, that she will be with God eternally with the Lord forever and ever and ever, God, that she, that everybody around her knows that, and they're thinking that, they know that, and they will follow her example, God, that she will have left a testimony wherever she goes, wherever she does, God, that they will, her children will rise up and call her blessed. In Jesus' name, bless her, Lord, just bless her. Let her be blessed. Let her life be blessed so that people rise up and call her blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. And for Joyce tonight, God, we ask you to bless Joyce. God, we thank you for her favor, God, to give her peace of mind. Peace of mind, that God, to confirm with her that she's listening to your word, not just your written word, but you're confirming your word. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, it says, hearken diligently, Joyce, to the voice of the Lord thy God, and obey his laws, right? So that's the kind of a good mix. It's not do what the Bible says and listen to his voice. It's listen to his voice. And, of course, when you listen to his voice, you will be confirming the Bible. In other words, it'll always be somehow the Word of God. You never do anything Jesus wants you to do without it being, you know, anything out of the Word is what Jesus wants, what he desires. It's who he is. He's a person. The Word of God is about a person. And I thank you, Lord, for the personal relationship with Jesus, that as she gets to know you and your Word, through your Word, that not just the written Word only, but that the Word comes alive, and it's like Peter, thou art the Christ, you know, because the Father showed him. That I thank you, Lord, for showing Joyce, God, your word to confirm her, give her strength to him, God, and let her know that she's listening, hearkening diligently to your voice and obeying your word. That she knows how. But the voice is first. It's amazing. Even the Old Testament. Hearken to the voice of the Lord. Wow. Because they heard Moses talking to God and God talking to Moses for hours. I mean, they talked to God, not when he's up on the mountain, but when he came down and he'd get in the tent. They would watch God show up at the tent with Moses and meet with Moses, and you could hear the voice of God in there giving him all these rules and laws, and what do you do about how you offer up offerings, and how you know whether somebody's sick with leprosy or not, and how you test it, and how to prove it, and, you know, how to off, you know, how to build a tabernacle, you know, all the different things, man. It's amazing. And because they heard the voice of the Lord. And they realized that the voice of the Lord is important, because the voice always leads you to obey his laws and his word. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for that. Rejoice, God, that she will take great confidence in that you're guiding her, leading her, mainly by your voice. My sheep know my voice. And when you know the voice of God, you obey the word. If you find yourself not outside obeying the word, what's in the word, you know, being led, you know, that means you're being led by the wrong voice. And I think, Lord, that Joyce is being led by the voice. Joyce is being led by the voice, yeah. Joyce being led by the voice. That even rhymes. Hello, hello. All right, 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Hi, Angela. All right, thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for her peers, God, that she can look to her peers. Her peers are going to start looking to her. And thank you, Lord, for her peers looking to her and her looking to her peers, who her peers are, who she looks up to. I don't know how you spell that. I'm trying to look that up. Yeah. Look keenly or with difficulty at someone or something. Yeah, the meaning of peer is one that is of equal standing with another. Equal, especially one belonging to, okay, hang on a second, I'm going to, you know, I Google this stuff, one that is equal, of equal standing with another, equal, like, sentiment of peers, peers and commanders alike were shown the same courtesy. All right. Dignity of a peer. All right. So your peers are going to look up to you, and you're going to look up to your peers, and your, you know, people that are your peers, the people that are going to look up to you, and look to you. So make sure and keep up with stuff, how God's guiding you and how he's leading you. You know, do away with, you know, we all get stuff that's just flesh, you know, that we're trying to learn, we're trying to grow. And anybody who doesn't have flesh stuff when they're trying to learn to grow is not usually telling the truth. You know, like, we just have flesh. We do away with it, we cut it away, and we keep the good. We throw away the bad, we keep, throw away the bathwater, and keep the baby. Amen? We don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. We learn to keep what's good. A lot of the parables where Jesus said, he caught a bunch of fish and said, throw away the bad ones, keep the good ones. You know, well, why didn't you just catch every one of them good? Because if it's God's will, you just everything you catch is good. Not in that sense. Sometimes, so we throw away the things that are not good, that are not right, and they're not working, and the things that work, we keep them. And I thank you, Lord, that Angela walks in that place to where people do that with her. They will see that she has, how she's learned, how she's grown, how she's becoming successful in learning how to flow with God. And because of that, they're going to follow her example. They're going to say, how did you do that? And you're going to be able to have it down there where you can kind of tell them generally, you know, how God led you and how God guided you, because they're going to look up to you and say, you know, we want to find out more about you. How do you do this? What's going on? And it's an example in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 303-8386. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Mike and Veronica, Colorado.
All right. Hey, you guys. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Mike and Veronica. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the past, God. We thank you, Lord, that everybody has a past. Sometimes our past, we don't always understand our past. Sometimes, you know, and many times in my ministry, I look in people's past and see why they are what they are today. Therefore, when you see their past, when you see how they were raised, when you see what their fathers did to them, their mothers did to them or didn't do to them, whatever, good, bad, ugly, all the good, bad, and you see why they are what they are today, you know what? We kind of understand what their battle is. You know, I was raised by pretty good parents, and yet I knew friends that their fathers were alcoholics, and they were, sometimes they were nice, sometimes they were mean, sometimes they were, you know, do some really weird things. And so it helped me understand from knowing their past, why they were like that today. And instead of being judgmental, I understood them. And yet God says, I'm going to change them. I'm going to make them new. But to understand their past helps you understand, the struggles that people have today. That way you have compassion, you have mercy, you have tenderness, you have that thing of understanding, you know, why does my husband or my wife or my friends or my mom and dad, my mom, why was my mom like she was? Why was my dad like she was? He was. Now, why are they like that? Well, we look back, my personal mother had a father who, you know, was pretty strict, very strict. He spanked her really hard when she didn't make straight A's. And he thought spanking her, and even though spanking her really hard, unjustly, would help her. That was his motive. But, you know, in her eyes, you know, she was being abused. And so it hurt her. It wounded her. It made her, you know, not like religion too much because he was religious, and so was her mother. And, you know, even though they were trying to raise her right. So when you look back at that, I understood my mother, and therefore I had more compassion on her, you know, and know how to pray for her. Because when you understand people's past, you understand the seeds that were planted in their life, why they are the way they are, so that you can try, you can understand them, have compassion on them, and believe God to plant seeds, you know, to change those things. Because only the seed of God's word is what changes us. And I thank you, Lord, that Mike and Veronica learning that about, you know, I mean, I've dealt with people personally, you know, in counseling that had some really, really major, you know, troubles and problems. If I hadn't known what I'd known, I would have judged them. I would have said this and that about them. But you know what? I saw them, I go, my God, you know, it's amazing that you've lived this long with what you've been through. It's amazing that you still have your mind with what you've gone through. You're an amazing person. It's amazing. God has a purpose for your life. And start giving me compassion for people who've been through hell and were acting that hell out still. You know, not because they were bad people, because that's just part of the seed. When the seed's planted, it grows up and they just do things. And so I started going, dear God, you know, help me, Jesus, to help change. Help me to love. Help me to understand. Help me to embrace them. And I thank you, Lord, for that with Mike and Veronica, to give compassion not only for each other, but for others, and understand that people's past is what made them do what they do today. Therefore, we can have compassion on them, mercy on them, and love them in spite of it, knowing that, you know, God's going to change them, and pray that they just have a passion to change. And we thank you, Lord, for the revival, for the outpouring of the Love Fest, God. You're going to change people, and people have been abused and have seeds planted in them that are deep, that just one little touch of Jesus is going to completely change their character, completely change their nature. But they need somebody to have compassion on them in that process. And I thank you, Lord, for Mike and Bronson. They will not only do that for each other, but they will do it for the sheep, the people that need to know, can somebody love me? Can somebody see something good about me with all the stuff I've been through and the way I've, and the sins that I've committed and the things I've done? Can anybody have mercy on me? Because I was raised like that. So when we start seeing it, that's why Jesus told the woman who was busted in adultery, he said, you know, they were going to stone her for that. And he says, I didn't come here for that. I came to change people now. Yeah, before that's the way it was. Now I come to change. I understand she's like that because of her past. And he had compassion on her because he knew her past. And those seeds were planted in her. And therefore, she was like that because of those seeds. And he said, I came to change the seed. I came to put my seed in her so she will be different. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them that understanding, God, where they will love and have compassion and be used by you in a miraculous sense of understanding and wisdom and compassion for each other and for the people around them, God. Amen. That the seed of word of God is the only thing that's going to change any of us. And thank you for that understanding. Amen. All right, 682-738. You want to talk to
you? Yes, this is LaShawn from Texas. And can you pray for Jamari?
Jamari, yes. Okay, Jamari. Absolutely. All right. Okay, Jamari. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jamari and LaShawn. God, we thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Jesus, to bring those things together that need to be brought together for protection, for grace, for mercy, for love. God, we know that we're in a world that is cursed because the enemy goes about planting seeds, and when those seeds start growing up in people, they produce what the seed were planted in them. You know, so does that. So how do we deal with that? We deal with that by prayer, intercession. We understand the gospel that Jesus said, you know, I came to have compassion. I came to change. I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to judge. I came to plant a new seed in them, in the heart. And I thank you, Lord, for Jamari, God, that Jamari will will have that those seeds that have been planted in him from God, that will, they would be more abundant than the seeds that were not of God, whatever they were, that were planted by different people, different ways. Thank you, Lord, that Jamari will arise and awaken to the reality that, that the only hope that any of us have is Jesus, because he's the only one who truly changes us and delivers us from ourselves so we can love ourselves, so we can have compassion on ourselves and give ourselves a chance, give ourselves a break, give ourselves a knowing that, you know, if God didn't change me, I'm not going to change. I can try to change. I want to change. But if God doesn't change me, I'm not going to change. So, God, give Jamari that love and that compassion for himself that only Jesus can change him. And without Jesus, it's not going to happen. But with Jesus, all things are possible. With Jesus, we can change. God can change our heart. Or we'll wake up with a different heart. Amen. The heart of David, the heart of God. In Jesus' name, in Jamari, God, we declare and decree it in Jesus' name. And for LaShawn, we thank you, Lord, for LaShawn. For the spirit of worship, the spirit of praise in her, God, that she prays and worships you and honors you and worships you not just with song, but worships you with her heart, obeys you with her heart. Her worship is not just song and singing, but her worship, God, is her life is a sweet-smelling savor to you, God. She's learning more and more how to offer up those offerings, that what's important, what offering up an offering is, how you offer up your life, how you offer up your soul, how you offer up your body. That your body be, our bodies become, you know, the offering, the sacrifice of our bodies. God loves that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to him. And I thank you, Jesus, for showing her more and more and more how to do that so she can teach other people how to do it, Jesus. Amen. So the will of God will be done. Amen. All right. 214-415. Did I just call that? Hello?
It's Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Okay. I didn't. Hi. Good to have you tonight, Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. In Jesus' name, I got my numbers mixed up there. I got so many numbers going on sometimes. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies are forever, God. Your mercies are new every morning, and they never run out. God, I thank you, Lord, that you just show her your mercies, not only for herself, but for others. God, that that your mercies endure forever. God, that your mercies are new every morning. And the whole realm about your mercies, your mercy, your mercy, your mercies. God, in Jesus' name, that she will tap into that in a way she never had before, God. That she will grow in your mercies, understand your mercies, understand your ways, God. Your mercies, let me see, look at the scripture on that. Your mercy, mercy. Mercy definition. Let's go to our definition. Look at this. I'm Googling this as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Whoa. So it's in our power to harm or punish them, but we have compassion or forgiveness that person. Ooh, that's pretty interesting. Well, I don't know what that's about, but used in expressions of surprise or fear. Mercy me, which we're not talking about that. But what's the true meaning of mercy? I'm looking this up. Mercy is the compassionate treatment of those in distress, especially when it is within one's power to punish or harm them. Same, basically, the word mercy derives from the medieval Latin merced or mercies, which means price paid. Oh, wow, I did not know that. Listen to this. The word mercy, I'm just reading this out of, you know, I Googled it. The word mercy derives from the medieval Latin merced, merced, or merces, merces, which means price paid. Wow, now that is hot. I did not know that. I mean, I'm going to, you know, I don't do that that often, but I'm taking the note on that one. I'm copying and pasting it, putting it on my notes. That can preach. Hang on a second. Let me do this before I forget about it. I did not realize that about mercy. I mean, I have to say, where have I been all my life? All right. Let's go here. down. I got that in my notes right now. I got to check that out later when I get time. Wow. The word mercy derives from the medieval Latin words merced or merces, which means price paid. There's a connotation of forgiveness, benevolence, and kindness. Price paid. Woo! Okay, there's two types of mercy. I'm just reading this stuff. The works of mercy have been traditionally divided into two categories, each with seven elements. Okay, corporal works of mercy, which concern the material and physical needs of others, spiritual works of mercy, which concern the spiritual needs of others. All right, you might look that up. Check that stuff out. That's amazing. And God's doing a mercy thing there, revealing his mercy. Wow, I'll take that. That is an awesome word about the paid price paid. Mercy works from the element in our thoughts toward price paid. So when you realize Jesus paid the price, we don't have to make other people pay. Right? Sometimes I say, man, I'm not going to forgive that person. I've literally said this. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm going to let them get off scot-free. They owe me that money. That's my money. They owe me. I'm going to let them scot-free. That's what I told God when you come and forgive that person. And you're going to, I got to let, he says, yeah, what'd I do with you? I'm like, uh-oh. You let me off scot-free. Yes, Lord, because you paid for it. Wow, that's amazing. Beautiful. All right. 863-605, who would talk to this one, please?
It's just me.
All right, 863-605, who am I talking to?
I know it's who you are, too.
All right. I think that's Nikki and Charles, and they're not answering. They're visiting or something, talking to somebody, maybe the church or something. I don't know. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles, God. We thank you, Lord, for Nikki, God, that dividing the spoils, God, to find out how to spoil the spoils that God has, the spoils of victory. Amen. And not the spoils of defeat, because the spoils of defeat means we lose, but the spoils of victory is that we get blessed from, you know, like back in the old days, like the reason some countries overtook other countries is because they wanted the spoils. Right, they wanted the spoils. And because when you got victory, you got the spoils from that. You got the blessings from that. So God, I thank you for opening up the realm of victory for Nikki. Victory for Nikki. Victory for Nikki. Forever and all that and everything. All right, so the victory means that there's booty or that there's, you know, treasures. And I thank you, Jesus, for the treasure realm, God, is showing Nikki and Charles how to tap into that treasure realm, God, right now in Jesus' name. Open up that whole treasure realm in Jesus' name, and how that in order to have treasures, there's got to be a victory, right? If we lose everything all the time, which, you know, sometimes I have lost a thing or two, like, where's my booty at, God? Where's the treasure at? He said, well, you lost that one, Chandler. What do you think you're doing? You need to have a victory. Oh, when we have the victory, that's when we get. I see. So if we lose it, that means they come and take our stuff, right? And we become, you know, they get our treasures, right? But when we win the victory, so it's all about victory. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus has already paid the price, like a mercy. It's already been, price has been paid. And I thank you, Jesus, for that realm of price being paid. We're in that season now of Passover and celebrating Passover. In Jesus' name, where the victory has been won, where our inheritance is the spoils of battle, if you will, because Jesus already spoiled the enemy, and we have won the victory. So walking in victory is when we get those spoils. See, I just put that together for the first time. I mean, I never specifically thought about it like that. We have to win the victory. So if we keep winning, we keep getting spoils from that, right? Yeah. The treasures from that. Amen. Show them how to walk into God in a brand new way in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 863-808. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Cheryl from Florida. Pray for, let's say, Tara tonight. Okay?
Tara? Okay. All right, got it. Cheryl from Florida, and then Tara. Thank you, Lord, for Tara, God. God, we thank you that thank you, Jesus, that the true riches, that we get our eyes on the true riches. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to get our eyes on other things. I've done it. We've all done it. We all say, oh, I would never do that. We find ourselves, we look back and go, man, I failed at that in some ways, and somebody I'd really get. But I thank you, Lord, for Tara, that God, she will be successful, that she will keep her eyes, learn how to keep her eyes on you, Jesus, that when she gets her eyes on people, every time we get our eyes on people, we fail, we sink. When we look at the storm, we fail, we sink. But we keep our eyes on the treasure, on who the true treasure is, then we always win, no matter what. And when you bring us blessing, we're blessed. And we thank you, Lord, that you bring her the true blessing. Let her gather treasures out of everything she goes through, out of everything she's ever gone through. Let her find treasures in the midst of all of it, where we learn and grow. We move forward in life. We say, we come to the plot where sometimes in my life I've had to say, I'll never do that again. Because I realized, you know, my thinking wasn't exactly perfect. I got my eyes off the Lord, and I got eyes on, you know, other things, and it just happens. And I thank you, Jesus, for your mercies and your compassion, Father, but Tara, God, that she will learn from all of it and grow from everything. Grow from everything. Ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, coming to the knowledge of the truth. Knowing how things work, why they work, and why things don't work, and why they don't work. You got to understand both ways. Amen. In Jesus' name, and bless Cheryl, God. Give her that the ability to understand, God, and give wisdom at the time of need. God, that it will be compassionate wisdom, but strong wisdom, be knowledge, the knowledge of God, not just the knowledge of, oh, I feel sorry for you. I'm going to pity you. Sometimes pitying somebody, having compassion on somebody, you just be right up front with them with the truth, and then just hug them and love them and say, you know, I'm here for you. I'm not, you know, you messed up, but I'm going to have compassion. I'm right here for you. So sometimes when we correct people or give them things, most people think that we're rejecting them as a person. But when we correct whatever we do and then we hug them and love them, they start realizing, well, I guess you're not trying to reject me because you're loving me and hugging me. But so it helps them to listen to the message. It helps them to understand the message and partake the message and learn from the message so that they – and we look back and we go, man, I'm glad I told them the truth about that. And then help because look at what the truth did. It changed their life. It helped them. Because sometimes when people at a painful moment, at a painful – sometimes transition is extremely painful. And when we speak the truth in love at that painful transition, many times it gets in there deeper. Because they're in pain, they're in need, and we speak the truth and love to them, and they get it down deep because the wound has opened up their heart to a deep level. And we plant that seed at that time, it will give them what they need for the future instead of just, you know, pitying them and saying poor thing and they're not really learning anything from it. We have compassion on them and plant that seed deep in the heart of the wound with the truth and then in love, and then watch that seed produce much fruit. And change lives, and people totally turned around because of the word of God planted her life at a time of transition when they were extremely struggling, extremely wounded. And now I don't need the truth right now. I need some pity. No, they need the truth, and in a loving, kind way, and with affection and friendship behind it, so they can receive it. And it'll go deep in their heart in the middle of that wound, and it'll produce much fruit in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 608-960. Who want to talk to me from, please?
Hey, Shannon.
Right, hey, Shannon. All right. Hey, Shannon. All right, thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for building him up, God, for tearing him down. We need to be tore down because when God tears us down, he tears down what's tearing us down. And then he starts building us up with the things that with the truth, with the reality, what the Word of God says, not just what people think about it, but what the Word. So I thank you, Lord, for building my brother, God, new building, new area, new. So when God adds on to our life, he builds a foundation for it. We start the process kind of over, just our whole life. But it's, you know, when God adds to us, he adds, you know, when you add an add-on to a house, you have to have a foundation for it, right, before you can build. I thank you for this new things you're adding to his life, God, that you're pouring, you know, new foundation. New plumbing, new thing, the whole new thing going on. It's starting from the ground up, and then in Jesus' name, building, Shannon, Father. into that place where you're building him up and giving him constructive information, not just, you know, feeling words, but words, the word of the Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name, for a building, to build him up, God, to build him up. Sometimes building somebody up doesn't mean that you tell them everything they want to hear. Sometimes you have to rebuke and correct in love. And then when that happens, then God comes in and he's able to build now. Before he wasn't able to build. And when he removes things or begins to remove them, then he can replace them. But they have to be removed first. Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for all the building you're doing in Shannon, God, building his life. In Jesus' name, building his life in the name of the Lord. All right. Okay, 903-808. Can I talk to the drum, please?
This is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. All right, thank you, Janie. Janie's the one that everybody showed us that beautiful Blog Talk baby horse. She had that little colt. And remember that night we were talking to her on the phone, and she said she's going to go out and check on the mare. And I said, not without me. And even though I didn't get to go out there with her, you know, on the phone, but that mare had that colt. She was that face, man. That white face. I've never seen anything like that, but I'm sure they're out there. I've never seen a horse with that face like that. It was amazing, the white face. Absolutely beautiful. And I thank you, Lord, for Jeannie, God, that you're creating new things. You're breeding is all about planting seed, you know, and the way God will, because when you're a breeder, you understand how God made things. You get good seed. You look for good seed. Like you said, I think you said that mare was had seed by a world champion or something, and then that little baby dog came out of there, that blog, I'm calling it now, our new Blog Talk baby, little colt was born, little horsey, in case somebody knows what a colt is, was born, and we sent pictures out to everybody. I'm like, I feel like a proud papa almost in a sense. It was like, that was like a Blog Talk baby, a baby horse, a baby colt. And thank you, Jesus, for that, because, you know, understanding seed and how seed works, and how you look for the best seed to produce, you know, get two things together, and then, you know, the best seed from the best, you know, stud, and plant that seed in that mare, you know, that's like, so people who understand that stuff know how important it is to have the right seed in the right animal, and the right thing to produce that, what they're looking for. So I thank you, Jesus, that in the whole thing with the seed planting and all she understands about seed planting and harvest of seed and what DNA and what could be the potential of that that's in that seed, that Jeannie will begin to, help people understand that and share that and talk about how that when good seed is planted, this is what comes out. I mean, that's the manifestation of good seed, right? And the blessings in her life and the fact that she looks for, just like she does in the natural realm, she found a world champion. I think it's a world champion anyway, stud to breed that mare. And when that happened, that produced that beautiful baby. I mean, it's amazing. And so to understand that we look for the best place to plant our seeds, right? Then we plant our seed with, you know, the right thing, and the two things come together, it creates this amazing thing. It's a simple truth, but think about that in the kingdom of God. Think about that in our giving to God, and where we're giving, how we give, and where we plant the seed, what mare, what stud we got planting seed. You know, Jesus is, of course, our stud that plants the seed inside of his people, and how important that is to get the right seed, like even get the right prophetic information, like the whole Trump-Biden thing. Like, you know, I talk about that a lot because that was a lot of seed was planted that just didn't come to pass. It produced a lot of mess. And so, you know, God's word always produces, you know, what's really happening instead of what we wish was happening. And man, wouldn't that be nice if every time you wished that your seed that you had planted in that mare would, like, produce another world champion, you just wish it, but, but when it, you know, so it takes more than wishing. It takes, you know, knowing, understanding the process and how to find the best seed with the best womb, right, to create those beautiful things. And so, you know, on the negative side, Hitler understood that. What he did, he was trying to breed people because he understood. So some of the worldly people understand this, and Jesus took it and taught the kingdom of God is like the seed. And so God, give her a revelation of that. Show her that stuff, God, so you can bless every area of her life, God, where she produces world champions in every area, in her finances, in her family, in her relationships, in her health, in her ministry, in her calling, that she will produce the healthiest seed, the healthiest fruit, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 864-313, who am I talking to, son, please?
Yes, Walter, South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, Walter, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and for salt, Walter got also that area, that whole thing about seed. We've been talking about seed a lot lately. We even talked about it tonight in our ministry time, how that, you know, the end times is so easy to understand the end times when you see Jesus, when Jesus talked about it, what the sower sowed the seed, and the Son of Man planted the seed, and then the bad seed was the enemy, and yet he made them all grow together. There was no separation of them. They grew together. And so there's something about, then he talks very plainly about that. That's the end of the age. You know, at the end of the age is how things are going to happen. And so it's going to be, they're going to grow together, not be separated. It's very plain. It says very strictly. So when we start understanding the word of God and the whole thing about seed and harvest and how he does things sometimes grow together until the harvest time when the angels come, and we're all stuck together until the angels come. We're all stuck together until the harvest comes. God, we learned that we want to make sure that we are a wheat seed and not a tear seed, right? And that if we're hanging around tear people, you know, that's just the way it's going to be to the harvest time. We've got to learn how to work God's seed kingdom, the kingdom of his seeds, and planting seeds and living seeds, and not just money. I'm talking about in every area. God, you're going to show Walter how to walk in that, God, because that's what changed everything is the seeds that we plant. You know, where we plant them, in good ground, or is it, you know, rocky ground? It comes up real quick and then it, you know, rejoices. Yeah, I got it now. And then when a little trouble comes along, we wilt away. Why? Because we obviously got some rocks, you know, in our, maybe some unforgiveness, maybe some promise, mission, but get some rocks in our soil because it comes up quickly and then it goes away. Because of persecution, because the sun comes out and there's no root in it. Jesus interpreted that as persecution and trouble, and all of a sudden it just wilts up and goes away because it didn't take root. And thank you, Lord, for showing my brother, God, how this works, how the end time is going to work, how the Bible says that the end time is going to work. Not just people, not religious people, not, you know, they don't even know what they're talking about. They're going to have a bunch of unprepared people, not ready for what's going to happen, but we're all going to go together until the end of the age, when it says, then the angels come, and then he comes, and then he plucks up first the tares, not the wheat. The tares are plucked up at the root first, and then he gathers wheat to his barn. And Jesus said, that's all going to happen at the end of the hour, in the end of the age. So thank you, Jesus, for that, and making that not just an end time thing, but a thing about understanding that we're going to grow together, and that we are wheat. We're children of God. To make sure we're children of God. To make sure that we're walking in the light of God. We're truly born again. In Jesus' name, because we are. We're going to produce fruit right in the midst of all that. Right in the midst of the mix, we're going to produce our wheat fruit to the highest, fullest potential. We're going to have a harvest, and it's going to be right in the middle of all the mess. Off in a little corner, getting away from everything, hiding from everything, and being a wimp. In a sense that, like, sometimes with me, I was like going, I'm not going to get away from everybody. I think I'd do better if I'm not around anybody. And I started finding out that it just doesn't work like that. You know, the true who we are comes out when we're around people. And the battles and struggles that people give us make us grow in Jesus. So that's why we're just going to all hang out together until the harvest time. Amen. And bless my brother with that. Help him understand it. Jesus, so he'll have confidence and strength knowing that we're not going to be able to get away from those tares. They're everywhere, and we're going to grow together until the harvest time. Yeah, so once we kind of adjust to that and see it, then it changes the way we think about all of it, and we become more of a conqueror. Amen. All right, 251-229, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight, God. Thank you for the confidence you've given her, Lord. And I love that message you shared when you came on the other night about how that we need to get our eyes off ourselves and go help others. And when you're helping others, your worries and your fears about your situation come, you know, just begin to fall off. And that example about Jan Krause, where she had depression and God told her to go to church. She said, I can't go to church. I can't get out of the house. He said, go to the church. She goes to church and he's sitting back in the back holding away seeing. She says, he says, go down there and pray for people. She says, I can't pray for people. I can't even pray for myself. He said, go down there. She does it. And when she starts praying for others, her whole world broke back into the light, came back into her life again. You know, and you'd think she would know that because she was a very smart person, a very godly person, a very great person, I think. And she was a human being, but she was loved God. And that what a beautiful, beautiful thing, God. And you're teaching Sarah how to walk in that. It's such a powerful way to teach it, share about it, and share those seeds, plant those seeds of other people, God, where she's planting seeds of your word, you know, and reaping them and getting her eyes on how to help others, how to be a blessing. Instead of me, 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 and my, I love that. What a great message. What a great word. And God, you're bringing her to that place where she's going to reap a bountiful harvest from getting her eyes on helping others in Jesus' name. And when she helps others, helps God's kingdom, God's will be done, that God will help her. Amen. When we help others, God helps us. Amen in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for that focus, let it really be focused at a new level. Where she can really walk in that in the power of God like never before in her life. And be blessed, 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 God. And happy, happy, happy. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, 754-255. Let me talk to you from, please. All right, 754-255.
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey, man. What are y'all having church over there or something?
Huh? What you said, Randy?
I sound like you got some people down at the altar weeping. Like I have a church or something?
So it's always right when I call.
That's because they need some attention from the Lord.
Ah.
That's what that's all about. They're looking for God's attention, and you're just the one that kind of helps them get it. Something like that. Anyway, all right. We pray for you guys. Thank you. Anything special?
Nothing special. It's whatever God put on your mind.
Just regular stuff. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Tell those baby dolls, we're glad they're got great voices and that they're beautiful and they're just like, they're just beginning to make noise, man. They're going to make noise, you know, as you know, they're going to make noise. And Lord, I just something about that, Lord, just show them baby dolls. They're going to make noise. Let them make noise for Jesus. Let them make noise and get attention. We're all made to have attention. We need attention. We got a mama and daddy that needs to give us attention, and we got because we got a basic desire to get attention from God. We're made like that. We need attention. Oh, they're just trying to get attention. Yeah, and when they get attention from God, then that's awesome, right? Yeah, so they cry out until God answers. You know, many times in the Bible, the woman who cried out, kept crying out until God answered. Thank you, Lord, that you've given Donald and Tanya that cry, God, the same thing. They just crying out, God, we need your attention. God, we don't care about people's attention. We want your attention. You know, we want you to look at it. We want you to have, you're the only one that can really bless us. You're the only one that can, and I thank you, Lord, for that cry that you gave, that you've given, that even their little boys, you know, have that cry that they, you know, they just, they need that attention. They want that attention. Because they're supposed to get it, right? They're supposed to get that love and affection and compassion and discipline and all that and fun and the whole thing, fellowship and family and the beauty. And I thank you, Lord, for that that ability to cry out until God answers. And then when God answers, it's like all of a sudden, wow, God. So that cry is put in the heart, the cry of Donald's heart, God. You're answering the cries of his heart. In Jesus' name, where his heart cries out to you, God, until he gets the answer. He's not going to quit crying out. That's what David had a heart for God, Donald, as you know. He had a heart for God, and he cried out. He didn't care what anybody thought about it. It's like your baby dog. They're like, it's like David, King David did the same thing. You see it in the book of Psalms, like, dang it, God, where are you, God? Without you, I can't make it. That's it. Come help me, Jesus. Come for me.
And he was crying after God, man. That's what David did. He had a heart for God. He cried. That God will hear the cry of your heart. And I thank you, Jesus, that David, King David, knew how to cry out. He didn't care what anybody thought. He wouldn't care about it. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed. Even it says of Jesus that he, without loud crying and tears, he cried out to the one who could save him from death. Wow, that's what it means. That's what it says, to save him from death. Right? Well, he was going to, I got to look into that. He said he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. So why would he cry out to be saved from death? So what kind of death was it? I don't know. I got to check into that. I just got a hold of that. That's kind of new. I knew that scripture there, but I thought about that. The cry. Jesus cried out with loud crying and tears. Let me read that exactly. Cried out with loud crying and tears. So hang on a second. I'm still here. Give me a second. Hebrews 5:7. Oh, look at this. It's April the 5th. It's April the 5th in my place. It's still on the 5th, still Wednesday. Hebrews 5. The Lord said, look at today. So Hebrews 5, so 5, 7. In the days of his life, of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard for his godly fear. Wow. I mean, I just got a new, so death from, he wasn't trying to keep from dying on the cross, right? So what death was that? To save him from death. I've never really understood that scripture. So y'all excuse me a minute while I, pardon me, get some revelation on this. And it's Hebrews 5, and today is April 5th. I don't have a clue what that means exactly, but something about that in this 5:7. In the days of his flesh, you know, the days of his human, you know, he was flesh of flesh. He was born of flesh. Must be born of flesh and flesh and born of the Spirit. He was born of flesh. And Jesus offered up prayers to loud crying and tears to save him from death. Wow. I don't know. Anyway, so thank you, Jesus, that you save us from death. Death meaning anything that's of the enemy, right? Now, when he gave his life and died on the cross, that was different. But he had to live until he was supposed to die, right? He had to live. There you go. He had to live until he knew the enemy was out to kill him, save him from death every day, right? Throw him off the cliff or try to throw him off the cliff and kill him many different times. They tried to kill him. And he cried to God because even in that, even though he was the Son of God, he cried out, Donald, because he knew that, you know, he had to depend on God to keep them from trying to kill him early, right? So he, with loud crying and tears, he cried out to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard for his godly fear. So his godly fear had much to do with being heard. That's what it says, his godly fear. He was heard for his godly fear. And I thank you, Lord, for the godly fear in Donald and Natalia. We thank you, Lord, for the godly fear in their family. It's ingrained in them like it was with Abraham and Sarah, and then was in Isaac and Jacob and their children. It's in your, when it's in your blood, that's when it gets into your children's blood. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that it's in the blood to have godly fear. Not fear of man, but the fear of God, the reverential fear and awe of God. Well, I thank you for that whole family walking in the fear and reverential awe of God. Amen. Well, they will never fear what man says, what man does, especially the threats that we have in the end times. Oh, God, you don't want to be here for that. This is going to get your head chopped. How can they, you know, the fear of man, I thank you, Lord, that they're not going to walk in the fear of man, but they're going to cry out to the one who would deliver them from death. In other words, death was all around Jesus. When the end times come, there's going to be death all around us. Are we going to be hurt because we have reverential fear and awe of God, or are we going to be not hurt because we didn't? Which one's it going to be? And it's going to be exactly what's going to happen. Wow. Dude, I got revelation of that, man. That was fresh and new for me. Woo, Jesus. All right. Bless Donald and Tanya. That whole thing got started with listening to the boys crying out. Donald said, they only did it. They did it as soon as I get on the phone. Well, isn't that amazing? I love it. They're beautiful babies. All right, bless them, Jesus. Let that reverential fear and awe get in their hearts, God. It's in their blood. and the life is in the blood, Lord. They will walk in the fear and awe of God, the whole family, every one of them, in Jesus' name. And they will be heard, and they will be saved from any premature death experiences because they're heard before that fear and reverence and awe of God. Amen. Awesome. That is really an awesome word. Wow. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 111, hello?
Yeah. Jeff and Yuki, No More Colorado.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have y'all tonight. All right, Jeff and Yuki. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Yuki. Thank you, Lord, for you, God, tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the voice you've given her, the voice that you recognize, God, when she cries after you, God, that you recognize her voice, Father, and you recognize the different parts of her voice. You recognize when she's crying out of human fear, and you recognize when she's crying out from godly fear, when she's crying out from a reverential awe fear and from her own fears. And you listen to all of it, but there's something, you know, you recognize the voice. You know that God said, I'm going to send you Moses to deliver my people because I've heard their cry. I've heard their cry. And the Lord says, I'm hearing your cry. I heard your cry. It's like a mother knows the cry of her baby, whether she just, complaining a little bit because he wants, you know, wants some attention, or they're in danger, and it's a pain thing. They're having pain. They need help, and they cry in a whole different way. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given her that ability to hear the cry of the hearts of people, hear the cry. Is it a desperate cry? Is it just I need something. Nothing really big cry, you know, pay a little attention, move on. Or is it something that needs to be desperately changed? They need it's desperate. They really do need help. It's not just phony. It's not just fake. They're not just playing like they ain't got nothing. They're gonna go down. It's really true that she will be able to recognize the voice of a true cry from just a regular cry or even a fake one. You know, how many times did I fake cry with my mom? You hurt me. And I was just faking it, right? But I was a pretty good actor, so I could really echo. And she knew. She said, Randy Chandler, stop that. But man, when I cried out, she was like, she knew. You know, okay, what's up? I mean, what can I do for you? You know, my mom knew, you know, she's a fake little, most of the time, I'm a pretty good actor. She would know. So there's something about that with you. God's going to show you more and more how to, you know, not only when you cry to God, God understands your cries, the desperation of your cry, the need of your cry. He understands, he knows that, and he hears us. And yet, being able to hear the cry of other people and know when their cries are real, when their panic is real, or when it's just phony, when it's like whatever, and to be able to respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, because every time somebody cries, we run like it's an emergency, and really all it is just they just want some attention for something, and you dropped everything to give them a little, you know, and they really didn't need attention, but they just got complaining type thing to the cry of, oh my God, we got to pray now. We got to get this taken care of now because this is desperate. This is really have a big need. It's really real, and we got to get this thing breakthrough now. You know, that kind of a cry. And God heard the cry of his people, and he sent Moses to deliver them. And I thank you, Lord, for Jeff, God. I thank you, Lord, for Jeff, for giving him a heart to be sent to deliver. You're giving him a heart, God, to be the person that is sent. Like, God, I'll go. I'll step out. I'll take a chance. I'll take a risk. You know, I'll be your servant. I'll be the one that goes. You know, and Moses first had to be broken. He made mistakes. He think things happened, and he was thrown out into the wilderness. It got hot. It got heavy. A lot of pressure on him. And God burned a lot of things out of him and made him a servant, you know. And when he was ready, that God said, Moses. Moses turned and saw there. What? Who is that? You know, what is this strange thing? And he, you know, and so, you know, even in Moses' mistakes, trying to do his thing, trying to deliver. Well, you know, sometimes we do our thing and we trying to get the job done, trying to do the thing, and it gets messed up. And so we get off out into this wilderness somewhere, like going, what the heck is going on now? It's like, they're going to kill me. They're going to take me down. And right in the middle of all that, you know, God gets us right where he wants us, where he gets us to ourself. He gets us to himself. He gets us out there in the wilderness away from all the clatter and all the stuff, and begins to speak to us, begins to train us and teach us and show us things. And it becomes a training thing. And then when he's ready, he sends us to deliver.
And I thank you, Lord, for that heart you've given Jeff, God, to want to deliver, help people, truly help people with what they really need help with. Amen. And to deliver a nation of people, deliver a bunch of people. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 503-318. Who want to talk to reform, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robin from Oregon.
Oh, hi, Robin.
Hello.
Robin, good to have you. Yes, hi. Good to have you. All right. On Wednesdays, you know, we just pray with people. We don't do much talking. So it was good talking to you tonight. What a great time we had. Thank you for your love for God. Thank you for, you know, the leaves for the healing of the nations. And sometimes God has to have a seed planted. And when he plants a seed, it has to grow a tree. And that tree, when it's of God, it has, you know, the chemical makeup of it, like literally, like fruits and vegetables and herbs in the leaves. There's actual literal things that God, chemicals that God put in those herbs and those apples and those whatever it is, that nearly is the power to feed our body what it needs. If it doesn't get it, it suffers, you know, it suffers from malnutrition in a sense that we're not getting what we need. So every tree, so all the things God's planted in that plant growing up, and whether it's a herb plant or a small plant or a tree, a big tree, whatever it is, got the in the leaves, many of those leaves are is the nutrition that will, you know, help people get through things, to give them strength and energy and the power to believe. And I thank you, Lord, for giving my friend Robin, God, that nutrition from the leaves that have come from for her own growth, from the things that you planted in her life and done in her life, God, and taken her through things and showing her things. And she's got this herb, whatever you want to say, and it's grown because you planted it in her, and within it, it's got the nutrition, and that she will eat of it, and that she will understand that everything she's gone through, the fruit of it, and the thing of, you know, the seeds that God planted in her life, and all those seeds grow plants in our life, grow things in our life that will feed us and give us nutrition, so we can be stronger and go through more and more things, you know. So the fruit that grows, the leaves that grow from our own life of struggle and battle, and God planted the seed, that they feed us. They feed us. That's why God told Adam and Eve, said, eat of the trees, you know, eat of this tree and eat of that tree, but don't eat of that one tree, right? There's something about God planted the trees and the herbs and everything in it to nurture us, to feed us. And the same thing he does in the garden of our life. He plants things going in hard times and good times. He plants those seeds, and when those things grow up, they become revelation, they become knowledge, they become things that we're learning, we're growing, we're being fed energy and power from God's word, from the leaves, from the healing of the nations, from the healing of our lives, in Jesus' name, to bring nutrition, where she will start seeing things. Because when you get godly nutrition, you know, the cells in your body start going, man, you've been, we haven't had much of this. This is like, I needed this. Thank you, Jesus. And your body starts going, man, the cells in your body, that those chemical makeup for those leaves, those herbs, when they're put in your body goes, man, yeah, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been hungering for. I needed that particular chemical makeup that God made. Oh, my God, it's making me healthy. I feel like I'm being satisfied. And your body, just like your body does that, so does your spirit and your soul. You begin to get what you need. You know, and many times the things that we eat of are the very things in our own life that we've learned from, we gain knowledge from. That knowledge has chemical that God put in to feed you, to nurture you, to make you healthy, to cause your soul, your mind to go, my God, there it is. Wow. Oh, now I see. Now I know. Now I'm getting strength. Now I'm seeing things with it, because those cells in my brain come alive. Those cells in my body come alive. So does my spirit, man, my soul start coming alive. Hallelujah. And Jesus, I start seeing things and understanding things that I've never understood before. Now I'm seeing them. How did it happen? From somebody else's life? No, from your own life. Amen. From the own, you know, the seeds God has planted, it's grown up, and now you got food to feed yourself. But he has supplied you. Give us this day our daily food, our daily, you know, the food from the trees of the garden of our life. And they bring, like the Jews say, when they pray over the food, they say the food, the nutrition that comes from the earth. You know, like the vine that brings forth the grape, that nurtures the herbs that on the ground that feed us. Literally, if they don't feed us, God made every one of those plants and those vitamins, all those things feed us. And the same thing in the spirit realm. If we don't eat it, we die. We may die slowly. When we eat it, we come alive. We come alive. We start seeing and knowing parts of our life that have gone to sleep. All of a sudden, start going, ooh, well, I needed that. Yes. You ate some of the, you know, that one particular leaf that I needed for my heart to begin to function better. My veins are starting to get healthy. The same thing the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She's learning and growing. Hallelujah. She's seeing things. She's partaking of the leaves from the garden of her own life that you planted her, Jesus. The knowledge of God, where she'll, you know, say, I'm ever learning and ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. I'm understanding, I'm consuming, I'm eating, and I'm seeing what I need to see. My eyes are being opened. Amen, in Jesus' name. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. That Robin is tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And she's growing from the experiences that she's had, the things you put in her life that have grown up in her. She's like going, yeah, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the knowledge you're giving me, for the experience you're giving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'll go and not make the same mistakes again. So I'll go, and so we all learn. We're all growing. Amen. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for all that. With Robin, that she's growing and learning and going to have much treasure to share with other people, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Praise God. Hope that helped you tonight a little bit. You know, sometimes I get stuff and I don't even know what I'm getting, and I'm trying to explain it, what I see, and it's kind of difficult sometimes to get it. You know, hope that comes out clear. But a lot of this stuff is information, stuff I never thought of before. And so y'all have to understand that's the way it happens to me. And I do my best to explain it the best I see it. Amen. All right, so if nobody else raised their hand tonight, it's midnight, and I've got a few with her. If you don't have your hand up, so maybe I'll be to pray for you, or maybe you're waiting, I don't know. But if you want ministry or prayer, I'm going to give you a few minutes, and I'm going to call tonight. So please get that hand up and make sure and not miss you, be able to pray for you. We're here for, we dedicate our life, our ministry, to this night, where we go from caller to caller to caller to give information. For 20 to 30 to 40 people a night, depending on how many are calling in, but that all happens in about a 2-3 hour span. So we're thankful for that. We give God the glory. Hopefully people understand what's being spoken, get something out of it, some nutrition out of it, food out of it so they can grow. Amen. That's our main goal, fruit changing, life-changing fruit. Yeah. All right. Okay, I'm going to take just a little break, and I'm going to wait a little bit, and then when I come back, if nobody is, raise your hand, I'm going to call tonight.